Zone, Dad, and he's still on his feet, down to the 34-yard line.
Classic Hits 98.9 Sports presents high school football. Tonight, it's the Class D2 State Quarterfinals from Loomis as the Wolves welcome in the Mullen Broncos. High school football on KKPR is brought to you by the KKPR Sports Club.
Here's an option play to the outside to Earsom. Gets the first down, 35-30, down to the 29-yard line, and that's going to be a gain of 9 for Josh.
Loomis looks to keep their season alive with a win at home, while Mullen could face a rematch with Sargent in the state semis, the only team to beat them this season. It's the Broncos and the Wolves coming up next. But first, it's the New Tech pregame show. We'll take you live to Loomis with Classic Hits Radio's Doug Duda and Tony Davis right after this word from New Tech Seed.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
And good evening, everyone, from Loomis, Nebraska. It's time for the 2010 D2 State High School Football Quarterfinals here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. It is a battle of 9-1 teams tonight as the Loomis Wolves welcome in the Mullen Broncos for this 8-man battle and a chance to advance to Monday's state semifinals, a place that Loomis and Coach Dennis Reese would like to get for the first time. They've had some success with the playoffs. They just have had problems after that first round, but not last week. Doug Duda along with Tony Davis here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. And Tony, what an exciting game for Loomis last week up at O'Neill, ending St. Mary's season for the second consecutive year. Only this time around, it was a lot more close, and it came down to the final 15 seconds of the ball game, and ironically, an 8-man football and extra point kick.
Yeah, something that a lot of people don't even attempt during the year. But Loomis attempted one last week and made it and advanced on in these playoffs. Interesting for this group of 9 seniors from Loomis. They started off as freshmen going 0-8. They improved to 5-4, improved to 6-4. Now they sit at 9-1. That's a chance to go to the state semifinals. That's a pretty neat story, no matter how you look at it.
Well, they may not be as big as Mullen, but we anticipate that they're going to be quicker, and that could be what this comes down to. Size versus speed and playing at home may be the difference here tonight for Loomis. We anticipated a very windy evening, and that may still happen, but right now, Tony, couldn't be more pleased with the conditions that we have here at Loomis. Wind about 10 mile an hour as it blows here across from the Mullen sideline to the Loomis sideline, and we should see a great night for football, and you always like to see that the conditions aren't going to determine how the game has progressed. We'll talk to Dennis Reese about the extra point kick and the PATs from last week. We'll talk with Mullen coach Mike Brown about his football team and what he is expecting here tonight as well. We'll take a timeout on the New Tech Seed pregame show, and when we come back, we'll have a couple of updates for you on scores from around the area. At last check, I want to pass that along before we get too deep here. Creighton has defeated Alma this afternoon by a score of 32-7. Grand Island Central Catholic is trying to pull the upset. They led Ogallala 10-7, middle of the fourth quarter, and currently on the breeze, 94.5 FM, Giltner was leading Pawnee City 34-24 as they approached halftime. We'll take a break and hear from the coaches, Dennis Reese of Loomis, and up first, Mike Brown from Mullen, right after this on Classic Hits 98.9.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Lauren specializes in the treatment of foot and ankle problems. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
See Misco Sports. They can get you geared up for game day with brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Nike and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. Should be a great D2 quarterfinal here tonight in Loomis as the Wolves bring in the Mullen Broncos. There's always a little bit of history between these two teams as well, but to find out more about Mullen, we catch up with head coach Mike Brown, the legendary coach of the Broncos. Coach, appreciate the time and congratulations on 2 wins so far in the playoffs and a great 9-1 season to this point.
Well, the kids have been playing well, so it's kind of fun and exciting.
Mike, you've been through the routine so many times with so many great programs there at Mullen. Is there anything different about this year's routine with this group of kids and maybe what you've had in the past?
Well, I think the routines is always the same. But, you know, each team is different, you know, and they have their own little identity, and these kids are just enjoying.
You have got a load of seniors. In fact, I think every one of your offensive starters here is a senior. So you knew that this was going to be a special ball club.
Well, you know, these kids have put their time in through the years and, you know, kind of stepped up and, you know, hopefully it goes good for them.
You like to run the ball. Loomis likes to run the ball. Could be a quick game, but I think everybody thinks it's also going to be a high-scoring game. Your thoughts on how either defense can maybe affect the outcome of this football game?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you play defense, you got to try to get them into predictable situations where, you know, they're going to run the ball or they're going to throw the ball. And, you know, just hopefully you're where you're supposed to be.
Mike Brown, the head football coach at Mullen, joins us here. Tell me a little bit about your defense and the way they have played throughout the season. You've got, obviously, some very good kids. It looks like Nathan is doing the job defensively, at least leading you in tackles. But what about the group overall?
Well, you know, we just, you know, try to play good, you know, fundamental defense to, you know, be where we're supposed to be, you know, and then when we do know where the ball is, everybody gets there.
Coach, you got some very good offensive players as well, and one of the top running backs of the entire class, and Zach Call. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, you know, he's a good runner, but, you know, running backs are only as good as the people in front of them, you know, so we look at it as a team effort. You know, if he gets yards, we all got yards.
Well, it's probably not too hard to follow your big center, Jake, listed at 290. You've got some other 200-pounders here. Kind of expand on that offensive line and what they've been doing for you.
Well, they've did a pretty good job for us this year. And, you know, we know Loomis is pretty aggressive. And, you know, hopefully we can try to get a body on him and maybe make a couple yards.
A lot of these kids played the last time that these two teams met in the playoffs just a couple of years ago. Sometimes payback or the revenge word is used a little too much. But I assume for some of these kids that's still in the back of their mind.
Oh, I don't know. You know, we approach each game, you know, just one game at a time, and each year is a new year. So, you know, nothing's really been said or anything about it.
Mike Brown, the head football coach of Mullen, is joining us here. Let's talk a little bit more about Loomis. So they had an exciting win last week against a good St. Mary's team. What concerns you the most with them?
Well, you know, I think they've got some speed. They've got a good little running back, you know, a quarterback that can throw the ball if he needs to. They're aggressive on defense. They'll bring a lot of people, you know, so it's going to be a task.
Is it more concern about when they might throw the ball because everyone thinks that that might be kind of a difference in the game for them if they're going to keep up with you?
Well, again, you want to try to make them predictable if you can, but, you know, it's whatever happens.
Mike Brown with us for just another minute here on the New Tech Seed pregame show as they get ready to take on Loomis. If this game is a high-scoring game, we've seen Loomis give up a couple of kick returns this year. Tell me a little bit about your special teams, who your kick and punt returners are, and the seasons that they've been having.
Well, you know, our special teams have did a pretty good job for us, you know, and we put a lot of emphasis on it. You know, we're not overly fast, so, you know, us returning kickoffs or punts is, you know, not something that, you know, we're going to depend on, but we just want to get good field position out of those things.
Coach, I guess I asked you a little bit about the motivation of playing Loomis again, but there's a really good chance a win would get you that rematch with Sargent next week, the only loss this year. How much does off-the-field motivation do you use, I guess, as a coaching staff, knowing that that could lie ahead in a state semifinal game?
You know, we take it one game at a time. We haven't talked about who our next opponent would be or anything. You know, we're just kind of enjoying the moment. And, you know, if we play well enough, we win. If we don't, we're still proud of what we did.
Well, it's been an outstanding season for the Mullen Broncos. And I guess, is anything ever going to get you to change that mustache?
No, probably not.
Well, Mike, have a safe trip down today. We sure appreciate you giving us some time. We're looking forward to a great night of football. And as always, best of luck to our friends from Mullen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Mike Brown of the Mullen Broncos joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll come back and catch up with Loomis coach Dennis Reese right after this timeout. For more than a decade, ENT Physicians of Kearney have provided the highest quality care to patients with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. Doctors Owen and Conley, caring for our community one patient at a time, were ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and, as always, the World Wide Web at kkpr.com. The Loomis Wolves taking on Mullen. Head coach Dennis Reese joins us here. And kind of a little bit of rivalry starting to develop here in the playoffs. Last week, a rematch with the team that they beat in the first round last year, O'Neill St. Mary's. Loomis so upset Mullen 2 years ago in the first round of the playoffs, and they get that rematch here in the quarters. Coach, what about going against, first off, congratulations on a great win. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what about seeing some of the same teams in the playoffs so at least the scouting report isn't brand new? That has to be helpful for both sides, doesn't it?
Oh, it helps us a lot. You know, when we looked at our half of the bracket, I think Wallace was the only team we haven't seen in the last 4 or 5 years. So all the rest of them we've played at one point or another.
Let's go back to last week. Very exciting ball game, close all the way. First time all year that you guys really weren't able to get a lot of offense generated. Take me back to the ball game, what it was like, because we know early in the game many chances in the red zone just couldn't convert. What changed in the second half?
Well, I think in the second half we just quit turning the ball over and started making some plays. I think we out-yarded them about 350 to 185, so I mean, we were able to move the ball. We just got down to the goal line and then either turned it over or ran out of downs. So that was our big thing in the first half. And I think even the start of the second half, we had one of those where we got down to inside the 10 and didn't score again. But in the third quarter or late, we got a score. And in the fourth quarter, we were able to mount a pretty good drive there, do some good things.
Obviously, the second half didn't start the way you wanted. Probably everything you talked about in the halftime locker room changed when St. Mary's returns the kickoff.
Well, yeah, you know, they made a nice return, and Thibbles is a great athlete. I mean, he's not particularly fast, but he's very elusive, and he knows how to run the ball, and he's very difficult to tackle. And we just didn't have him. We had, I think, five guys we counted on the videotape that touched him and didn't get him tackled. So, you know, we got to make that happen.
Dennis Reese, the head football coach at Loomis, is joining us here on the pregame show. Then it comes down to the final few seconds of the ball game. You guys are able to tie it, and then the decision to kick the extra point. You had went for two the two previous times. You decided that kicking the extra point might give you the best chance, and you've done that throughout the season. Take me through the conversion decisions throughout the game, and then what made you decide to kick at the end.
Well, our first touchdown, we were going into the wind, and it was about a 35-mile-an-hour wind, and it's kind of a crosswind. It's been a real difficult kick. So we decided we better go for two on that. And St. Mary's didn't show any kickers at all, so you knew they were going to go for two. And then with our second touchdown, we were averaging probably 4 and 5 yards a hunk coming out of the plays, you know, and we thought, well, we could surely block it well enough to get 3 yards. And we missed a block, and then they tackled us at the one. The last time, we really talked about, you know, with 15 seconds, it wasn't going to come down to an extra point beating us, but we felt like we could kick it and get the thing in because we had the wind behind us, and the kids all talked about it, and they said, hey, let's kick it. We think we can do it.
What was that bus ride home like?
Well, you know, we were fortunate. We've got a really nice bus, and you know, the kids were kind of tired, but they managed to sit, and we have a DVD player in the bus, so the kids got to watch a movie on the way home, and so it was a good trip.
Dennis, what about for you? I mean, we talk about making the playoffs. Loomis has been pretty successful in the playoffs, getting out of the first round. It's been a couple of years since you've made it to the quarterfinals, but we saw this maybe coming a little bit here. There's got to be a satisfying feeling before you jump into the Mullen preparations.
Well, you know, our goal here is we would like to play two playoff games every year that we qualify because we feel like once you get to that point, a lot of things can happen. And sometimes it might be injuries to you. Sometimes it might be to the teams you're playing. you never know, and so you got to give yourself the chance to compete.
Dennis Reese joins us here for another couple minutes on the pregame show. And injuries that did happen in this ball game, and you've got some injuries that are going to affect the way you line up against Mullen. Talk about a couple of the key injuries here and how they're going to affect what you do.
Well, last week Brandon Burkholder sprained a knee, and he won't be available today. And we'll see how he goes in the future here and how far we get. But I would say he's probably done for the season. And then Josh Earsom, they think, has a hairline fracture of a collarbone. He's not going to be available for us today either. And so, you know, that gets us down to Toby Thompson, who hurt a hip against Medicine Valley, and he won't be playing either.
As you look now at Mullen, they run the ball. Zach Call averages over 180 yards. I think everybody's expecting this to maybe be a high-scoring ball game. What do you do? And I know you joked with me before we started the interview about slowing down Mullen. How are you preparing to attack this offense?
Well, I think you said the key word right there is we can't just sit back, because if we do, they're just going to run right over us. So we're going to have to go attack them, and we're going to make some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. Because when you start doing a lot of blitzing and things like that, it's usually feast or famine. So it's kind of a chance you take. But we've been playing that way the whole year, and that's just what we've got to do.
It looks like they also give up some points to the better teams, and I'm talking the 5-3s and the 4-4 teams that they've played this year. So there's got to be some hope for you. Do you like the way it matches up your offense against their defense?
Well, at this point, we're going to do some things that we haven't shown too much. I mean, we've had the capability of doing some motion and shifts and things, but we're going to do a lot more of that kind of stuff, and hopefully that will limit the kind of stunts and things that they're able to do against us.
We've talked and we've had a chance to see some of these kids play and get some playoff experience over the last couple of years. If you are going to do some different things, does that mean that Alex Walton is going to have to put the ball in the air a little bit? I mean, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful night here for football, or is it going to be your run offense against Mullen's run offense?
We're definitely going to have to throw the ball to compete with them, I think. You know, Alexander will throw it some, and we may stick Clay McNall in there as a quarterback, too. He's got a little bit better arm, and he's taller, can see better. So, I mean, either one of them, we're going to probably do some things with them. In Alexander's case, we'll probably try and sprint him out a little bit more so he can see better.
And, Dennis, last couple questions here. In a game like this, if it is going to be high scoring, that means there's going to be a lot of kickoffs. What about special teams? How do you feel about, you gave up one last week, but what about your ability to kick return or punt return?
You know, I think we're going to be okay. I know that their kicker usually kicks it in the end zone on the kickoff, so we may not get any kickoff returns. Hopefully we can get some good punt returns, you know, and if we can do that and shorten the field, that's going to improve our chances also.
Finally, Dennis, I got Tony standing right next to me here, so we better ask you about Damon Steinbrink, his cousin. Has he been able to live up to the family name a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, as far as Tony's concerned, Damon's probably a little smarter. Maybe not too much, but a little. And Tony's probably got a little more strength on Damon, maybe, but I'll tell you what, Damon's a really good player for us, and we're really glad to have had the opportunity to work with him.
Well, as you said, Coach, this is where anything can happen, and we have seen it time and time again. Should be a great football game. We appreciate the time, and best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
That's Dennis Reese, head football coach of the Loomis Wolves. We'll be back with the starting lineups right after this timeout on KKPR.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits, from its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9. Tony, quickly, let's run down the injuries. Mullen is very healthy tonight, brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, and Lexington, but there are a few for Loomis.
Yeah, Toby Thompson's out with a hip injury. Kyle Samuelson with a shoulder. Josh Earsom with a collarbone. And Brandon Burkholder will miss tonight's action with a knee injury.
So there are your injuries, brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Back with the starters next.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're tackling a term paper or tackling the running back, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Buckman is fellowship trained in the treatment of the hand, wrist, and elbow. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
Age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustace Body Shop, that's who we are.
Time now to take a look at the starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and solution is Five Points Bank. First off, for the visiting Mullen Broncos at center number 72, a 290-pound senior, Jake Spees. The guards, number 70, 185-pound senior, Nick Licking, and number 81, 190-pound senior, Tristan Cox. At the ends, number 51, 200-pound senior, Gabe Keneally, and number 83, 185-pound senior, Brian Gray. The fullback, number 74, 195-pound senior, Nate Benton. The I-back, averaging 181 yards a game, is Zach Call. He wears number 21, 185-pound senior. And the quarterback, number 14, 165-pound senior, Brandon Store. Head coach of Mullen, Mike Brown for Loomis. They're going to go with Brandon Horst, the center, 230-pound senior. The guard is number 42, Jamison Bartruff, 225-pound senior. Also at guard is Brandon Horst, the center, Damon Steinbrink. The ends are Matt Houston and Ethan Nelson. Fullback Parker Lindstrom, I-back Kalen Anderson, and quarterback Alex Walton. Head coach Dennis Reese, both teams 9-1. They've taken the last 3 minutes off the clock because they're ready to go. Those are the starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, and we're ready for football. And it's a squib kick to start things off. Mullen will have the football on that squib kick. They'll pick it up at the 30-yard line and bring it out to about the 32, and Mullen will have good field position, Tony, to start this game off.
Douglas, I don't think that was a squib kick. I think he about missed the ball. He kicked the very tip of the ball, about missed the whole thing. That would have been quite a way to start a playoff game.
So it will be first down and 10 here for the Mullen Broncos as they move from right to left. They're traveling gold with black trim, black pants, the white tops. And the quarterback, Brandon Store, will line him up in a tight I formation. The first play is going to be a fullback dive. Benton, he's a big old horse over the left side for minimal yardage.
Yeah, right there. Parker Lindstrom gets out of the bottom of the pile. Good job of staying low and getting in there. This team is not going to throw the ball. They've thrown it 38 times this year. The wide receivers, if they split somebody out, will probably fall asleep out there. So they run the ball and run it effectively.
Well, you know you're playing less than 11-man football when the fullback's wearing a 70. And right now, Call on a toss sweep left side room, 35-40, into Loomis territory, brought down at the 37-yard line with a generous spot. He's going to be close to the first down. In fact, he should have the first down, and Mullen will be in Loomis territory here with some power and speed and Zach Call to the outside.
Yeah, I ran that play to the wide side of the field, and Loomis didn't feel very well, didn't run to the outside. Number 11, Ethan Nelson, brings him down.
So first down and 10 here for Mullen. We'll give you a couple of score updates from the Valentino score line in just a moment. But right now the quarterback, Brandon Store, will set him down, and here's a jump on the right defensive end for Loomis. They're going to be offsides, it would appear.
Yeah, pretty easy call. Just a little bit too much energy there. Parker Lindstrom will take a 5-yard penalty for the Wolves.
So offsides on Loomis, our first penalty of the ball game. Doug Duda along with Tony Davis and our producer-engineer Stacy Johns, thanks for choosing us for tonight's Loomis-Mullen playoff game. In the third quarter, Giltner 42, Pawnee City 24. Bancroft Rosalie leading Friend in the first quarter, 20-0. Creighton beat Alma today 32-7, and Ogallala scores late to beat Central Catholic 14-10. Here, Mullen toss sweep Call right side, gets across the 30-yard line, and he's going to be brought down about the 23 as he got to the 25 and spun forward for two more, and that's a nice gain of 8 on the play.
Well, this team likes to run to the edges, Doug. And when they do that, they can pull the guard and the end. They like to block with a quarterback store. We'll get out in front of these plays, much like Overton does if you follow Central Nebraska football.
So first down and 10, Mullen at the Loomis 22-yard line. Call it the 23. Toss sweep right side again. Call. Gets to the outside. Finds the seam. Spins. And then he goes head over heels inside the 15. He'll be brought down near the 14-yard line. He left the entire playing surface there.
Yeah, Clay McNaught got it right at the shoe tops.
Going to be, though, a gain of 8. And, Tony, that's not good for Loomis. But let's face it, everybody is expecting a shootout here in this football game. 30 points. Probably not going to be enough to win this football game here tonight. At least Mullen thinks that they can get there no problem. High formation on second and 2. Vitton, the fullback, crosses the 10-yard line and just goes down to the 6. It'll be first and goal. A gain of 6 on the play.
Yeah, it's a quick hitter. They're trying to send the middle linebacker, Damon Steinbrink, one way or the other, and they guess wrong that time.
Mullen doesn't take very long, and, of course, they don't throw the ball very much. It's sweep right, sweep left, or fullback dive, and that's what you're going to see a lot from Mullen. They line up with the big fellas at a 290-pound center. First and goal, toss sweep right side, call, finds the seam, into the end zone, touchdown, Mullen. And that didn't take any work at all, Tony. Great job on the offensive line of Mullen. Big play, every play except the first play, which was a one-yard dive from Vitton. Every other play after that was at least 6 yards or more, including the 6-yard touchdown.
Yeah, nice hole to run through, but a good cutback on the play by Call as well.
So now Mullen lines up, and they're going to go for two. Stay in that double tight end eye formation. Toss sweep right side. Call is going to get hit, and he is not going to get in. Nice tackle that time. Coming in, first man to hit him was Ethan Nelson. A couple other guys in there, Tony, but the conversion no good.
Yeah, much better job that time on the outside running the football, and they're going to continue to see that play all night. That's been the bread and butter all year.
So, 10:03 to go first quarter. We've already got points. Mullen 6, Loomis nothing, and we'll have the kickoff in 30 seconds.
Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. Taking care of customers one person at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank.
That's why we're here at Egg West. You gotta go eggwest.com. Go Egg West.
Well, the kids move with urgency, and they are quick out here, and Mullen will tee it up with Gabe Keneally. Yes, Keneally, you'll know that name. And he just pounds that one into the end zone, and no return for Kalen Anderson. It didn't land in the end zone, but it was right towards the pylon. He wasn't going to mess with it. Loomis first and 10 at the 15. Gabe Keneally, yeah, related to former Husker Terry Keneally just down the road in Hyannis.
Yeah, got a nice frame on him. Good family genetics there. Listed 200 pounds. Moves very, very well.
Well, and you take a look too, Tony. One thing that Mullen has going for it, as we talked about with the head coach in the pregame interview, Mike Brown, all offensive starters are seniors for this Mullen ball club, and you can't look past that at all. Loomis is going to spread it out here and go with a shotgun out of their quarterback, Alex Walton. Set a man in motion with twins to the left. Walton rolls left, wants to throw, sets up, throws it as far as he can. He's got a man behind the defense, but overthrows Kalen Anderson at midfield. Well, they got what they wanted, Tony, but the first heave-ho of the night is incomplete, and the wind has actually died down to almost nothing here in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, Doug, you look at the quarterback for Loomis, Alexander Walton, threw a nice ball on the outside, but that's something they've got to continually do is roll him out. Nobody's going to confuse him for George Mirasan out there. He is about 5'3", I think.
Well, they are not very big on this Loomis side. They do have Damon Steinbrink at 210, 180, 180, 170 on the line.
And he is a stud, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't get to hear when we talked to Dennis Reese about your cousin. Back to pass, Walton fakes the handoff, wants to throw again. Out here in the flat end, miscommunication as he was trying to get it to Matt Houston. Houston came to the seam, Walton threw it to the sideline, and it's 3rd and 10.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The miscommunication was all over that one. Had he gone to the sideline, it would have been a nice completion.
We're glad you're along with us here tonight on Loomis, at Loomis. Really the first night of the year that you could even call the conditions somewhat bad, and they're not. A ton of wind last playoff game, last round, and a little wind tonight, but not bad. They set up in a split formation, but now they're going to swing into a double wing with Ole Anderson back in the eye, and it's going to be a pitch to him on a shovel pass, and it goes nowhere. Mullen is all over this one. Kalen Anderson tackled at the line of scrimmage, and it's Nate Vitton to get him at a punting situation. 3 and out here for Loomis.
Yeah, Vinton's that running back, and you see a 74, you're thinking, oh, lineman got out there. No, he plays linebacker also for this Mullen Bronco team. So he just runs the outside, nobody touched him, and brings down the ball carrier.
Leading tackler for this ball club at the middle linebacker. So back to put it away is Clay McNall, and Mullen will stand at their 34, half a little high, but McNall has it, boots it away, high kick, and it'll be taken at the 35. No, it bounces. They lost it up in the lights, and a break there for Loomis. I don't know how it didn't hit Jared Simonson, Tony. He went to catch it, and then all of a sudden lost the lights, and Loomis catches a little bit of a break, and the ball will be spotted inside the 30-yard line at the 28.
I think the official may have sided with the ball being touched, had the ball not hopped true to where it was going. It bounced straight ahead, so everybody just got out of the way, and Loomis has the football.
We'll call it a 38-yard punt. And first down and 10 here for Mullen, leading it 6-0 with 9:09 to go in the first quarter. They've got it for the second time. Call comes to the left side. There's going to be a turn to the corner of the 35 and out to the 37-yard line. One thing I'm going to be interested to see is when Dennis Reese gets in the official's ear and tells him that the defensive end or the offensive end for Mullen is not really cleanly blocking the defensive end for Loomis here, Tony. He's crashing in and he's getting shoved in the back. I've seen it twice already when they come to this side of the football field, and it's enough of a run that they want to bring the sticks in to measure it.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring them all the way across the field. The sticks held on the very south side of the field, the ball right in front of the Loomis bench on the north side of the field.
Well, Tony, this is one of the nights. Last week there was hardly any games in the area because everybody was on the road. Well, tonight, Eustis Farnham, Overton, Loomis, all right here hosting football games, and the crowds probably couldn't go wrong going to either one of them, but a nice crowd here tonight.
Yeah, there is a great crowd on hand tonight, and I think it's great. Well, the weather's been so great all year, everybody's getting out and watching a lot of football this year.
Going to say that call is just short there, a 9-yard gain, and so it's going to be second down and one, and the ball just short of midfield. We'll call it the 38-yard line for Mullen. Hastings St. Cecilia leads Crofton 21-12 in the third quarter of play. Start of the fourth, Giltner leads Pawnee City 42-24. Second down and one, Mullen leading it 6-0. Clock running with 8:45 to go. Power eye formation here. And the quarterback gives it to Vinton, the fullback, who barely gets a yard, but it might be enough, and it will be enough for the first down up to the 39-yard line.
Good job of the defensive line of getting a little bit of a push up there.
Right now, Tony, Loomis has to find a way to slow this ball club down a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's just too many big plays on the outside. They run that toss sweep at will here early going in this ball game.
First down and 10. It's a little counterplay to call. Steps out of the first tackle, 35 into the secondary, 30. Great balance, 25, puts his hand down and finally brought down at the 21-yard line by Clay McNall. But another huge play, 20 yards, and it's first and 10.
Doug, it looks like it's too easy on the outside. The end blocks out, the guard blocks down, and there's just a big gaping hole up there.
Don't forget, currently airing on ESPN 1460 and 1550, a battle of unbeatens, Overton and South Loop, just up the road at Overton. First down and 10 at the 21 of Loomis. Right side for Zach Call. Little dancing, now misses a man, comes inside. There's a penalty flag as he gets to the 15 and down to the 11-yard line. But we're going to see our first penalty on Mullen of the night as that one came right at the center and right guard, most likely a hold. But Zach Call, Tony, pretty shifty, 185-pound senior, and has got some nice moves here. And he's making the quicker Loomis defensive line and backs miss.
Yeah, Loomis had two defenders over there. McDonald just able to cut back right to the middle of the field and outrun those guys for another big gain.
And remember, only loss of the year for Loomis came on that Hail Mary by Bertrand earlier in the season. And for Mullen, their only loss was the final game of the regular season to unbeaten second-ranked Sargent, and Sargent handled it.
Yeah.
55-12. That game was in Mullen. So a 10-yard penalty will move the ball back to the 31-yard line of Mullen. It'll be first down and 20. But so far, that doesn't seem to be a problem there. Moving it in chunks. Here's a run blitz, but it's a toss sweep to the outside. And Call is hit and driven down behind the line of scrimmage. They try to strip the ball. It came loose, but after the whistles blew. And one of the first guys in there looked to be Kyle Rademacher.
Yeah, good job. But, you know, that's the first time those defensive linemen have been able to get off their blocks. There was no hole there. He had nowhere to run.
So the ball will be back at the 33-yard line. Loomis needs to make a stop here now, Tony. They've got the opportunity, second and 22. With 7:20 to go here in the first quarter, they're already down 6-0 at Mayfuller. Smullen to go to the air here eventually. Let's see. And yes, back to pass is going to be Storr. He throws it over the middle, and the ball is going to be knocked down. Good play there by the safety, Clay McDowell, because it looked like the end, Brian Gray, was going to haul that in for about a 15-17-yard gain. And it's going to be hard for McDowell to tackle Gray, giving up quite a few pounds there.
Well, Gray actually fell down about 6 yards past the line of scrimmage there and kind of had to catch his balance. Didn't make it all the way to the ground, but sure stumbled.
Third and 22, Mullen at the Loomis 33, dropping back, trying to set up a screen. Storr, pump fake, it's not there. He'll throw it to the sidelines and throw it away.
Oh, they got
a penalty flag.
Yeah, they got illegal people down the field. Those linemen, there's two or three of them. Pick a number.
Yeah, it won't matter. This penalty will be declined and bring up fourth down and 23 for the Mullen Broncos. And one thing that's a little surprising there, Tony, they don't have to throw that ball. You get inside the 30 in eight-man football, you're going to go for it on fourth down, whether it's fourth and 10 or fourth and 15 or whatever it is. But Coach Brown and his staff elected to throw the ball there and came up incomplete twice, and now they're going to pick up the penalty flag. I don't think it matters. Loomis was going to decline any illegal man downfield. And now Jared Simonson, who hasn't had to punt very much this year, is going to stand back at his own 38-yard line and punt this football away. What wind there is at his back. Dropping back is going to be Clay McDowell. But unless this is a pooch kick or something that goes off the side of his foot, it should not be returnable. Good snap. Kicks it to the right. Nice high kick. That's not going to be returnable. Will it get to the end zone? Oh, takes a great bounce and is down inside the 5-yard line by Kate Keneally. That ball hit the Loomis turf and bounced straight in the air inside the 2. What a perfect punt.
Yeah, I couldn't gain better than that. Ball hit very softly, bounces straight up in the air about 8 feet. Keneally's right there in front of the goal line. Just grab the thing.
I think they are going to mark it at the 1, too, so Loomis will have the ball at the 1 with 7 minutes to go here in the quarter, and they trail by a score of 6-0. Line up in the I formation. They threw it 3 times on their first possession. This time they'll hand it off over the left side and nowhere to go. Maybe a half a yard that time as they gave it off to Kalen Anderson. His first carry got a yard. It'll be 2nd down and 9.
Well, they're so big up there. Spees, Doug. Spees along with Nathan Vinton, both just Spees listed at 290 pounds.
And I think he is.
Yeah.
Second down and 9 here, Loomis, trailing early 6-0, midway through the first quarter. They'll split the backs this time. And back to pass out of his own end zone, looking to throw deep, and it is going to be caught at the 35 and out to the 39-yard line. Great catch by Matt Houston, and Alex Walton put it right on his hands. 37 yards, and the first down, getting him out of their own end zone.
He couldn't have placed the ball any better. Walton right over the shoulder and comes down with it and striding down the sidelines. What a good thing. It wasn't a Husker out there. He probably dropped the thing.
36 yards on the play, we'll say officially. 1st and 10, Loomis at their own 38. So still got a way to go, but they make a nice play here. And it looks like they're going to rely a little more on the passing game tonight. Here they go off to the fullback, Lindstrom, over the left side. He'll get to the 40-yard line and maybe just cross into Mullen territory for the first time tonight. Gain of 2, 2nd down and 8.
I think this is a big confidence boost for Loomis getting out of their own end zone here. I think there's a team that, you know, this group particularly has not advanced. You plan a team from a long ways away. You don't exactly know the kids or know anything about them. You want to know where you match up.
Split out wide to the left is Ethan Nelson. Out of the shotgun with the back behind him is the quarterback, Alex Walton. They will send a couple of men in motion. Shifted here and now put out to the right side is Matt Houston. All kinds of motion in the single wing, trying to get Mullen to move. They're just not doing much of it. They give it to Lindstrom, and he trips and falls forward for about a yard. He actually kind of tripped over his own man there, Tony, and a gain of 1.
Yeah, he lost his balance in the backfield, and was able to just fall forward. I don't think anybody ever touched him.
Well, and one thing Loomis wants to do, they also want to create drives. They want to keep that Mullen offense off the field. Yes, they want to score as fast as they can, but they like to do it 2 or 3 first downs in every drive. And right now, 3rd down and 7 at the Mullen 38-yard line. Walton out of the shotgun sends Anderson in motion from right to left. Lindstrom behind him. Option play. Pitch it to Lindstrom. Lindstrom is just mowed under. Mullen came through like they didn't care if he wanted to pass it. And Vinton was basically untouched and drops him back at the Loomis 37-yard line. A 5-yard loss. and Lindstrom never had a chance.
Well, Brandon Horst is out there trying to block Vinton, and Vinton's 2 yards past him. He turns around and kind of shrugs his shoulders at the coach, says, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, Mullen might be big, but they're also showing some good quickness from a couple of their defensive ends here. And punting it away again is Clay McNall, fourth down at 11 yards to go. And the boot is away, high kick, driving back, taking it and dropping it at about the 15-yard line, stepping out of a tackle to the 20, and then slipping down at the 21-yard line is Jared Simonson.
Yeah, good stop on the play by Anderson. Simonson's going back on his heels, and Anderson cleans him up on the outside.
About a 28-yard punt.
Well, helmet to helmet, maybe.
Yeah, I've heard enough of that. Let's go to something else. 6-0, Mullen with 4:15 to go here in the first quarter of play. And Mullen on their third possession will have it first and 10 right around the 22-yard line. Call, who's had a good first quarter, takes it off the left side, and they don't bring him down. Lowers his shoulder, 30, 35. He made five guys miss before he finally just lost his balance all the way out of the 35-yard line. A gain of 13. He's got 72 yards on 8 carries in the first quarter.
Boy, it looked like he's going to be stopped about 3 yards, Doug. That's exactly right. A 13-yard gain, 3 yards down the field. There were 3-4 green jerseys. None of them could bring him down. It's 10 more yards down the field before they could stop him.
Well, right now, power is beating speed, and it's first down and 10. Here comes the blitz again. They'll hand it off over the right side. The fullback, Vinton, will crash forward for about 3 more.
Yeah, anytime they're going inside their end, not a big play has happened, but they'll go back to that sweep. They'll get you sucked in there and try and bounce it outside.
Now they'll say 4 for Vinton there. We'll give you a Valentino score update here in just a moment, so stay with us on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web, KKPR.com. Second down and 6, hard count, toss sweep, right side, Call. Call looking for running room, has it, gets to the Loomis 35-yard line, stretches across to the 34, and that's enough for another first down.
Well, Steinbring and Bartra bring him down, but that's after 6 yards, and I know Coach Reese shaking his head saying, that's too many, guys. We've got to stop this team or slow them down a little bit.
91 yards rushing, 0 passing for Mullen here in the first quarter, 7 first downs. First and 10 at the Loomis 35-yard line with 3:15 to go first quarter. Everybody coming up on that line. Counterplay call left side and a good tackle there by Lindstrom. Will bring him down for a minimal gain, maybe a yard.
That's a lot better job. Lindstrom hits him about the thigh, just takes his legs out from under him.
Second down and 9 yards to go. Wind blowing just a little bit here tonight at Loomis, about 10 miles an hour.
No,
maybe
just
it up to 15. It's up and down.
Just keep kicking up just a little bit more here.
On second down, toss sweep, short side, Call, and Call is going to be written down again. Short gain. That time it's Bartrop on the tackle. Another yard. It'll be third down and 7.5.
Well, it's a lot better job that time. They're making Call slow down and try and pick a hole. When he does that, he takes all the speed away from him, and the pursuit's able to catch up.
So that'll bring up third down and 7. The ball at the Loomis 32-yard line, 6-0 Mullen, 2:10 to go here in the first quarter. High formation again, and here's a penalty flag. They're going to hand it off on an inside trap play with their end, Brian Gray, who doesn't get much. He gets to the 30, but the flag came out before the play started. Illegal motion going to be called on Mullen.
Boy, Doug, I think you decline this and take that play, don't you?
Well, that's what I was wondering, if Loomis would even get the chance here, and I guess they will. Gray picked up a yard. It would be 4th and 5, or you could make it 3rd and 12. And, Tony, right here at 4th and 5, Mullen would probably go for it at the Loomis 30. I think you take the penalty. I don't know. This is a coin flip situation. And Coach Dennis Reese says, yeah, let's move them back. So they're going to move them back. And then this way, Tony, if they stop them, then they probably would be looking at a punt. But now you might also be looking at Mullen going to the air. They went deep once. Second time they tried to set up a screen, it didn't work.
We'll see if it's a good decision, won't we? We're kind of one of those red and black deals in Vegas.
Well, yeah, it's going to be up to your defense. Who makes the play here? Third down and 12, Loomis on defense. Mullen has it at the Loomis 37, and back to pass. Tried to set that screen up again, and they've got a man, and it's completed the 25, 20, and knocked out of bounds at the 15 is Gabe Keneally. Made a great catch, and it's first down and 10 for Mullen.
Keneally able to haul that ball and just put on the very tips of his finger, just on the tips of his fingers. great catch on the outside, showing his athleticism.
22-yard gain, and it's first down and 10 for Mullen at the Loomis 15-yard line. Inside 2 minutes to go here in the first quarter.
I had to decline that penalty, by the way.
Out of the I formation, here they come again. They'll toss it to the right side, call in on the seam. He just makes that end miss him across the 10, down to the 5-yard line. Tony, pretty simple. It's almost like the read option, but Zach Call does it all by himself. When Rademacher comes crashing in there, he either goes inside him or outside him, and most of the time it's inside him, and it's enough for a first down, first and goal at the 5. And Mullen, 5 yards away from taking a 12-0 lead with a minute 39 to go. Big Nate Vinton, the fullback, doing the blocking for Zach Call. Toss sweep right side. They like that right side. He'll dive forward, and he is close to the goal line, but not in. That'll be second and goal from the 1.
Yeah, the wind's now really changed direction. One's out of the northwest now, more out of the north, but it's really picking up here, Doug.
That's not going to bother Mullen, it doesn't look. If they keep it on the ground like this, Zach Call, 96 yards, and he's going to probably be going for 97 right here. It's second and goal at the 1 for Mullen. And back to that power eye formation, Braden Storr takes it, quarterback sneak, he's into the end zone, touchdown Mullen on the 1 yard quarterback sneak by Braden Storr. And with 101 to go in the first quarter, it's Mullen 12 and Loomis nothing, just doing it on the ground and converting a third down and 12.
Yeah, pretty simple there. That was one of those quarterback sneaks where you needed a yard and you would have picked up 3 or 4 on the play.
So now Mullen lines up to go for 2. They were unsuccessful on their 2-point conversion the first time. Tried to run a little sweep to the right side, and they were all over Zach Call. This time they'll go to the left side with Call, and Call will walk in there for the 2-point conversion. No, they're going to say that his knee was down. Boy, I thought the ball stretched over the pylon, Tony, but maybe a break for Loomis. Good pursuit there by Anderson and Nelson.
Yeah, Kalen Anderson on the outside wrapped him up and spun him backward, and I thought you, I was with you that he stuck the ball out there, but the official right there on the line. So
101 to go, first quarter, Mullen 12, Loomis nothing. You're listening to the state D2 playoffs on Classic Hits.
Age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits, 98.9 and the World Wide Web, KKPR.com. Gabe Keneally kicks it through the uprights. And that is such a powerful weapon. Dennis Reese just looks at the side judge and chuckles. There's not going to be a lot of return game tonight for the Loomis Wolves.
That'd have been a long field goal. Good grief. That is a weapon, too.
Yeah, Keneally.
Anytime in the 8-man game you take the kick return game out of play, that's a weapon.
Well, Mike Brown, both teams seem to like their special teams. Mike Brown, very quiet, didn't say a whole lot in the interview before the ball game, but he was satisfied with what they do there. So now let's see what Loomis can do. They've got to get their offense going here. They've had one big pass play, a 36-yarder, and that's been all their offense. First and 10 at the 15. Double team the rush in. Anderson to throw, trying to go all the way down the field, and it is through the hands of the intended receiver, Ethan Nelson, at the Mullen 27-yard line. Well-thrown ball by Alex Walton, Tony. That's one that probably should have had, and it's going to be second down and 10.
Yeah, Nelson, that was just a drop pass on the outside. Very well-thrown ball by Walton.
Here's some score updates for you. Pierce leads St. Paul 7-0 in the first quarter. South Loop and Overton are tied at 7. Bancroft in the first. Bancroft, Rosalie, and Friend. Bancroft 28-14. Norfolk Catholic leads Wahoo 7-0 in the first quarter. More coming up on the Valentino's scoreline. Here's a draw play to Kalen Anderson. Gets over the 16-17 and maybe the 18-yard line. And on the tackle is Brian Gray, and that will take us down to 40 seconds and 3rd and 7.
You know, much this team throws the ball, I think you're going to see a spot pass at some time trying to get Anderson on the outside, trying to use some of that speed to get up the field.
Well, you talked about Loomis not being a big football team, but they also aren't tall, Tony. They are not going to go win one-on-one situations. They've got to get behind the defensive back or well in front. And on 3rd and 7, it'll be back to pass for Alex Walton. Time. Now decides he might want to run it. Trouble on the outside. He will run it. He's got the first down and gets to the 30-yard line for the Loomis Wolves. He'll mark him down at the 29, a gain of 11.
Well, he just worked on the backfield one-on-one over there. He's able to outrun a guy to the corner and then pick up the first down on his own.
Well, Tristan Cox, that's the kind of matchup that they want, Tony. Tristan Cox, it was one-on-one. He had to make a decision, and while he was making his decision, Walton just turned on the turbo and went right around the end. This should be the final play of the first quarter, 11 seconds. Loomis has it first and 10 at their own 29-yard line. Two tight ends, and they'll split the backs, turn and hand it off to Lindstrom over the left side, and he got nothing.
Well, big boy was right there immediately. That Spees, Jake Spees, 290 pounds of him, blew that play up before it ever got underway.
And that is the end of the first quarter in this 2010 D2 State quarterfinal in Loomis. The score, the Mullen Broncos 12 and the Loomis Wolves nothing. We'll be back as the Wolves face second down and 10 at their own 30 after this timeout on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole in One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just three words.
Three words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're tackling a term paper or tackling the running back, Dr. Adamson specializes in shoulder problems, including surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
We get ready to go to the second quarter, and they switch ends. It is 12 to nothing. Mullen, and for Loomis, they have a total of 13 yards rushing, and they hit a 36-yard pass completion. So a 36-yard pass and 11-yard run, and that's been about it. They trail 12 nothing. Second down and 9. High snap. Here is another shuttle pass, and that shuttle pass goes to Lindstrom, and Parker doesn't get a whole lot. Gets a couple yards up to about the 32, 33. We'll call it third and about 7 yards to go.
Yeah, they show that option look to the right side and flip Lindstrom back underneath, hoping to get that spread out more. But the defense just collapsed on Lindstrom. One of those things, be the toss to the outside. I think everybody was collapsed and maybe had the corner.
Well, there's so much more of a wingspan on these defensive linemen for Mullen that it's hard to kind of let them come upfield and then toss it inside them. Third down and 7. They'll move Anderson in motion from left to right. Walton out of the shotgun. Pump fake again. Looking deep. He's in all kinds of trouble, and he'll be sacked for the first time tonight. That time, Mullen decided they were going to go for it, and Jake Spees gets the sack. It's going to be a loss of 4, third and 11. Or fourth and 11, excuse me.
Yeah, Walton had absolutely no chance that time. That pocket was collapsed, and there were three guys waiting for him right there.
Tony, I think some of the injuries starting to show up here a little bit for Loomis. They are not as healthy. They've got a couple of kids that would definitely be playing. And now the punt away. McNall, there's a bomb into the air. Backing up, and they can't catch it. And this is going to end up getting into the end zone, which is a huge break for Mullen and Jared Simonson.
Yeah, that ball, he was on his heels, and Loomis was closing in quickly. But that was one of the better punts, Doug, we've saw all year in a class. That was an absolute rocket into the sky.
Yeah, that was way, way up there. And a couple of times here, Simonson has had trouble tracking it down, kind of kicking it over the lights almost here at Loomis. It's a 51-yard punt that goes into the end zone, net 36, but they'll take it. And Mullen will have it first and 10 at the 15-yard line, leading 12 to nothing with 10:42 to go in the second quarter. Nothing fancy so far from Mullen. It's been the Zach Call show, and he gets it around the left end again, steps out of a man, and then he's going to be shoved out of bounds by Kalen Anderson. And Call had 96 yards rushing in the first quarter on 13 carries. Yeah. Harry's going to pick up about two. It'll be second and eight, so he's got 98 on 14. Nate Vitton, four carries, 12 yards, and they had one completed pass for 22.
That's really a critical drive for the Wolves defense. They've got to step up and get this offense off the field. You can't afford to fall behind three touchdowns with this team.
Vitton is crushed in the backfield. That time coming through unblocked is Matt Houston, and that's the kind of play that Loomis is looking for. Loss of two, and it's third and 10.
Vinton's got his hands on his hips saying, would somebody please pick him up? He handed the ball. And right there, right in his face, was Houston.
Well, that's the key to the fullback trap, Tony. You got to get by that first guy, and it could be a big play. But Houston was right on him and made the tackle. Third and 10 now, and Braden Storr is going to toss it to the right side. Call tries to get out there, and he is going to get four. He's going to get five, but that's not enough. The tackle made by Houston again. He'll get to the 20-yard line, and it'll be fourth and five.
They're really running somebody up there to the outside and staying low and creating a pile and making him cut that back inside, taking away the outside of that field.
Well, now Kalen Anderson and Clay McNall go back to field the punt. They need something to return here. It's going to be a quick snap. The punt's away very short. Hung up in the air, and then it's dropped back at the 20. Anderson goes back to pick it up. He's got no blockers. He's going to have to do it on his own. Spins out of one. 25, 30. Look out. 35, and the kicker goes back and drops him at the 35-yard line. The punter, Jared Simonson, saved the touchdown because Anderson was able to spin out of two tackles and get it up to the 35-yard line.
I think Anderson didn't realize, Doug, once he came out of that corner that he was only had one guy to beat. I think he realized that, he went up over the top of him. He stayed very, very low and tried to punish the punter.
Looks like a 40-yard punt and about a 15-yard return. Loomis will have it at their own 35-yard line, trailing 12-0, trying to get settled in here, though, with 9:28 to go in the half. Walton out of the shotgun, drops it, has to fall on it. These are the kind of things that Loomis can't have, and it's going to be a loss of about six on the play. Second and 16 as he simply didn't handle the shotgun snap that time from his center, Damon Steinbrink.
Well, licking just right there. And good thing he just goes down and secures the football, because that's one of those, a lot of times you'll see a high school kid try and pick up and bobble it again, and then the other team's on top of the football.
9 minutes to go here in the first half. We'll look at the Valentino score update in just a moment. Here it's 12-0 Mullen on second down and 16, Walton under center. Going to turn and hand it off, and trying to fight is Lindstrom, and he's going to get back about what they lost there on that drop snap. A gain of six, back up to the 35. It'll be third down and 10.
Well, it's pretty obvious here. You got to go back to the air. They haven't been able to pick up 10 yards on the ground on one play yet, Doug. I think you try and get somebody down the field like Nelson again, get somebody behind. He's going to spread out right in front of the Loomis bench, wide to the left.
That safety is Jared Simonson. He's going to come over and get on him on third and 10 at their own 35. Back to pass, looking for a little curl route. Caught at the 40, and then breaking a tackle and getting the first down, it looks like. Great second effort by Ethan Nelson. They were going to have to get the yards after the catch, and this is right on the marker. It all depended on the spot at the 36-yard line.
Boy.
They'll probably bring the chains in here, Tony, and it's right in front of the Mullen bench. It's hard to tell exactly, or the Loomis bench. It's hard exactly to tell, but it's going to be the nose of the football one way or another, and that was only about 4 yards after he caught it, and he goes for 5.5 to 6 after he caught it.
Yeah, the spin move was excellent right out. He spun off one guy right down the sideline.
They will stretch the chains, and it's going to be enough for a first down. So a nice 10-yard completion there for Walton and a good run by Ethan Nelson. Tony, let's take a look at some of the scores on the Valentino's Hotline, Valentino's home of the Grand Italian Buffet.
Yeah, Doug, you're looking at Bancroft Rosalie Lee's friend, 36-14 at the half. Hastings St. Cecilia pulling away of Crofton, 28-12 in the third quarter. Pierce leads St. Paul in the first quarter, 7-0.
Sargent leads Eustace Farnham 14-0. The winner of that game plays the winner of this game on Monday. Mullen would host Sargent or Eustace Farnham. And for Loomis, they would be on the road either way. First and 10 here for the Wolves, but they need to get something going. Quarterback draw. Walton, who went right now, decides to change directions and gets thrown down from behind by Brian Gray. That looked like a good idea at the time. He was going to get swallowed up on the outside by Tristan Cox, and just got back to the line of scrimmage because Gray got him from behind.
Yeah, it was one of those that you look like you had a kind of a big hole from where we're sitting, with the hole closed real quick with Gray filling it.
Earlier today, Ogallala scored late for a 14-10 win over Grand Island Central Catholic, and Creighton beat Alma 32-7. Giltner leading Pawnee City here by a score of 58-30. That's now a final. Back to pass. Another quarterback draw. And just getting back to the line of scrimmage is Alex Walton.
Yeah, Walton was on the move. He never had time to set his feet and even look down the field that time. He was under so much pressure. So you're going to have to do some, get some shorter passes or try and fire some spot passes out there maybe to get them to loosen up a little bit. They got four guys just charging straight up the field.
Well, coaches Reese Maskey and Verbke, I think, are trying to get Mullen to commit here a little bit, Tony, so that they don't just cover deep and don't worry about the quarterback or anybody running the football. And now Loomis is going to call a timeout. It'll be the first timeout by either team in the ball game. 6:44 to go here in the first half of this D2 quarterfinal. It's the Mullen Broncos 12 and the Loomis Wolves nothing. Back after this on Classic Hits.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
Trust the experts when it comes to your hearing or hearing aid products. At ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, our university-trained audiologists provide individualized care, caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Along with our producer-engineers, Stacy Johns and Tony Davis, I'm Doug Duda back with you here at Loomis High School with the Wolves. Trying to get some offense going. They seem to be getting closer and closer and closer after Mullen took the opening drive and took it right down the field and then have scored since to take a 12-0 lead. Right now, Loomis faces third down and 10 at the Mullen 35-yard line. If they can convert here, then that gets them in the red zone almost and go-to-go situation, hopefully, for Loomis. Fake the handoff, back to pass Walton. Nobody to go to, so he just throws it up for grabs. Two men in the area of the ball, tipped and intercepted at the 5. 10, 15, 20, it's called. 25, look out, 30, 40, still on his feet and finally going to be upended by Jamison Bartra. And that's one where, in all purposes, if you could have tackled Zach Call, that would have been great because it would have been inside the 5. It would have been just like a punt. But instead, the ball's tipped into the air. The other three guys fall down. Call's all by himself. He was going to get 20 yards before anybody else got close to him. And he's going to return it all the way to the 35-yard line of Loomis. First turnover of the game.
Yeah, Call a lot of that on his own, breaking that clear back across the field. It was clear over in the corner by the Loomis bench. Takes it all the way back over in front of his own bench, well up the field.
So first down and 10. After the Zach Call interception, Loomis 35 with 6.5 to go. They want to pass, and down the field it goes, and the end gets it into his hands, bobbles it. Cabe Keneally breaks a tackle to the 10, to the end zone, touchdown. Quite a hand battle there between the safety and the much bigger Cabe Keneally. First it looked like Loomis was going to pick it, then it looked like it was going to be incomplete, and Keneally tipped it back to himself. The defender went down trying to strip it, and the last 15 yards, untouched for the touchdown. It's 18-0 on the 35-yard completion.
Yeah, it was McNall back there, and he went up and tried to rip the ball out of Keneally's hands, but Keneally just too strong and took it away from him.
So a one-play drive and a two-point conversion coming up. Mullen has not been successful on the first two-point conversions. Power eye formation, give it to Call, right side, seam, in, touchdown. So this time the conversion is good. It was 6:21 to go in the first half of play. The Mullen Broncos, it's not Stephen Dent back there, but I'll tell you what, Zach Call looks good, and now they go to the air for their third touchdown. Broncos 20, Loomis nothing. We'll have the kickoff next.
See Misco Sports. They can get you geared up for game day with brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Nike and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling. The Hole-in-One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
Cabe Keneally ready to kick it away. This time he'll actually have to boot it into the wind. But last time, with little wind at his back, he kicked it through the uprights. So that takes about 20 yards of carry to do that. Here he goes again. They've all been touchbacks. This one might be booted out of bounds, and it is. That one's out of bounds at the 15-yard line, so it wasn't even close that time for Keneally. And
well, you take this at the 30-yard line. There's no doubt, is there? I don't think there's any decision here when McNeely kicking the football. You let him kick it again, he'll kick it out of the end zone, and you get it to 15. So why not go ahead and just take those free yards and then take the football?
And that appears to be what Loomis is going to do, is just take it. It's actually the 25-yard line, Tony, not the 30. So you only gain 10 yards on that, not quite like in the 11-man game where you'd get it out at the 35. So it's 20-0 Mullen, and Loomis has got to find a way to get some points on the board here. We thought it would be high-scoring, and Mullen is doing their part, but Loomis is struggling, having to rely on the pass game. First down and 10. Walton, little inside handoff here, and Anderson, who was lined up at the wing, finds a little bit of room up to the 30-yard line. Going to be a gain of 5. Maybe 4, they say his knee hit down early. It'll be 2nd down and 6.
But Vinton, once again, running to him down. Anytime Kalen Anderson gets a hole like that, you think, well, a big play could happen. But Vinton right there to bring him down.
Coming out to the left wing is Ethan Nelson. Lindstrom lines up about 6 yards behind his quarterback. Walton's under the center this time. Hard count. There was some movement. Now a penalty flag comes after the ball is snapped. They hand it off over the right side for a minimal gain across the 30 to the 32, but let's see what the flag's about.
I think they're going to get an offside on Spees, aren't they?
We'll wait for the officials to sort it out here. And anytime they're discussing things, that means maybe one guy had one thing and another had another, but I don't understand. The referee is talking to the side judge. The side judge is the one that threw the flag. What's the discussion about? And finally, illegal motion going to be called on Loomis.
Okay.
So the illegal motion will now leave it up to Mullen what they want to do, and I'm sure that they will back him up here. So it'll be 2nd down and 11. That'll be the second penalty of the ball game on the Loomis Wolves.
But for all the formations Loomis has ran tonight and all the motion, they didn't put anybody in motion that time, and they get called for it.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. And I don't know why that took such a long time for the side judge to let the referee know what it was. Anyway, 2nd down, we'll call it 10, and they'll go back to pass. Walt, plenty of time this time. Again, throws it as far as he can, and he overshoots his intended receiver, Matt Houston, by about 5 yards. Tony Loomis is in a dangerous spot right now. They're just playing chuck it as far as you can, and that's not going to get the job done, and they've only hooked up once so far tonight.
Yeah, and Houston actually looked like he had 2 or 3 yards beyond the furthest defender, but Keneally once again closes that gap on the outside. He closed that up. As soon as that ball was in the air, Keneally was right on top of Houston.
3rd down and 11. Walton has completed 4 passes tonight, 4 out of 9 with an interception, and one of those passes was a 0-yard shovel pass. 3rd and 11 now here for the Wolves. Walton back to pass, quick little swing move. The ball is batted by Zach Call, who jumped the route, and it's incomplete. And I don't mean just batted it away. He batted it forward enough that he almost ran under it and caught it again, and it's 4th down.
Yeah, now the Wolves, this is disastrous here. If you give the ball back to Mullen and they go in and score here before half with 5:21, only 5:21 before the half, but 20-0, you know, some good things could happen to maybe get a turnover to turn the tide of this game a little bit, but something good is going to have to happen with this defense right now.
And ready to punt it away, Clay McNall. The ball spotted at about the 24-yard line. Great punt here. Simonson picks it up at the 15, drops it again. Out of the 20, not a lot of running room, 25 to the 27-yard line.
Pretty good job of coverage. I thought that ball just hung in the air for so long, allowing the green jerseys to get down there and cover it.
We'll call it a 41-yard punt and a return of about 12, and Mullen will have it 1st and 10 at their own 28-yard line, leading it 20-0 with 5:10 to go. Didn't see this coming, Tony. Loomis, though, I think maybe losing Brandon Burkholder in the game at O'Neill St. Mary's last week, a 265-pound lineman, maybe hurt them a little more than we thought. They're just not able to do anything up the middle either way. Mullen now 1st and 10 out of the I formation. They'll toss it to Call. Left side, steps out one man, gets to the 30, 31-yard line, and a gain of 3, maybe 4 on the play.
Looks like on the outside of that play, it was Kalen Anderson turning that play back into the middle of the field. Steinberg in on the tackle, and Steinberg gets up a little bit slow.
Don't forget that coming up at the half, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. We'll have the scores from around the state so far tonight. Couple of finals already in. First half stats and a whole lot more. Right now, second down and six. Mullen has it at the 31 to Fenton off the right side. So 35 to the 37 and close to the first down. Big run, his best run of the night. It's going to be a gain of all they need minus about a half a yard. They're going to actually look at it. And they're going to bring the chains in here for a measurement. I don't think he's got it this time, Tony.
Now, Vint not looking to... Oh, they're just going to give it to him. They're not even going to measure this.
Oh, I thought they called him in to measure it. So instead, it's going to be a six-yard gain for Vinton. And the 10th first down of the half here.
Vinton not looking to run around anybody, just dropping his shoulder and bulldozing everybody that time.
And first down and 10. Toss sweep right side, looking for some room, call to the short side, 40, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at Loomis territory at around the 37-yard line. So again, nice gain on first down. It's going to be six and second down and four. Already 113 yards on the ground for Zach Call.
Well, I know they're trying to get out there, Doug, but you cannot give him that sideline. They run that play to the wide side of the field. You've got to turn that play. That defensive end has got to get out and turn that in back inside where he's got help.
Well, they don't want to run at Steinbrink. Evidently, that's the case tonight because they're going outside almost every time. Call this time goes off left guard, and he is going to be right at the first down marker. And the way the Mullen fans are cheering, it looks like he's got it, and he does. 35-31-yard line. Gain of six for Zach Call. But, Tony, didn't you think if Mullen was the power team that they'd be running it more up the middle? I mean, all but maybe one run. I mean, the fullback is going up the middle, but Zach Call every time is going to either the left end or the right end. They haven't done much with him besides run left, run right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This looks more like howls to me, Doug. They're trying to get that edge with the top sweep, basically.
20-0, Mullen looking for more. On first and 10, the ball is going to be an inside handoff there. It almost looked like they fumbled it, but instead the end, Gabe Keneally, I think, had
yeah.
that time, Tony, for a minimal gain.
Yeah, we used to call that a scissors play. That end comes underneath and basically a counter back across the field. Houston read it right immediately and just dove with the back of his legs and brought him down. No
yeah.
gain.
Yeah, I'm guessing Coach Brown, they've run a couple of those, and neither one has been worth a darn. They got called on a penalty, and this was 0 yards, so second and 10. I say you just keep giving it to Call. That time he wanted to go up the middle, and that's going to cost him because he's brought down from behind by Matt Houston. That time he didn't immediately go outside, Tony, and now you can see why they want to get Zach Call to the outside. He's going to lose one.
Yeah, that's exactly what he tried to do. Houston would have none of it, though. Good tackle one-on-one on Call.
Well, for Loomis, it looks like they've picked their poison, and their poison is to let Call get outside and let their speedsters try to tackle him. Third and 11, the ball is dropped, and he picks it up, gives it to Call, and Call is going to be brought down. Not much going on there. Damon Steinbrink will get the tackle, and that one was messed up from the snap. So Mullen has made a couple of mistakes tonight, Tony, but their big plays, their big running plays have allowed them to survive that. No gain, it's fourth down and 11.
Yeah, they're going to send the punter out here. It's one of those situations, I guess, with 2:14 left. They think, let's see if Loomis can score quick, which they haven't been able to do.
And Simonson is going to try and just punt it down to the one again, but that time a little too far, and into the end zone it goes. It's just a 31-yard punt, and Loomis will get it at the 15-yard line.
Doug, I want to give a quick shout-out to the people that follow the Lopers. Know Jake and Corey Morton. Their father was involved in an accident at the blind, actually with a propane tank, and kind of burned himself. He's in the burn center. I know he's listening to us right now. So, Jeff, get better quickly and get back home.
That's right. Let's see if we can get something done here for the Wolves. First and 10 at their own 15. 2:07 to go in the first half. They trail 20-0. They've got two timeouts. Walton's going to turn and hand it off and hitting the line, and there's nowhere to go but bouncing off and falling forward for at least a little bit of yardage there is Parker Lindstrom. It looked like he was going to lose a yard, and maybe he gained a yard.
That's one thing. He's fighting for extra yards, sticking that ball out there, and Gray comes from behind. That's something you don't want to do here with 2 minutes before a half. You just secure the football and go down.
1:40 to go here in the first half of play, 20-0. And the clock running, and it's going to be a Wildcat direct snap. And that's Clay McNall over the right side, and he is going to get a little bit of yardage across the 20-yard line. Again, we apologize. We're sitting in the stands on the other side here, and it's hard to see the yard markers when it's on the west side of the field.
Right.
And so he does get a good gain of 7. It's third down and 3.
Yeah, clearing that southwest corner, very tough from our vantage point. Right now, we'll see Loomis obviously wants to get one first down, I think, take this thing to halftime.
A minute to go, looking to get that ball 4 yards farther down the field. Same play and nothing doing. McDowell this time is going to be drugged down immediately. Ready on the play was Jake Spees. He's going to get a yard. We'll call it 4th and 2.
Yeah, immediately Mullen's going to call a timeout, Doug. You know, that play, he slipped in the backfield coming out of there. I don't know. The grass is getting a little bit wet, but we saw Loomis slip 2 or 3 times the night before they get the play started.
So 50 seconds to go here in the first half of play, and Mullen has done it 3 different ways. Zach Call, a 6-yard touchdown run, a 1-yard quarterback sneak for Braden Storr, and then Storr hooked up with Gabe Keneally on a 35-yard touchdown pass after Zach Call returned it on an interception from his own 5 all the way down to the 35, and it'll be 4th down and 2 here for the Loomis Wolves, leading it 20-0. And, Tony, let's take a look at some scores here from the Valentino's hotline. And, Sergeant, man, oh, man, 20-0 over Eustis Farnham, and they're in the second quarter.
Yeah, that, you know, after seeing them last week, Doug, it was one of those deals we didn't think anybody was going to touch them, and Eustis Farnham certainly not slowing them down. End of the first, St. Pat leads Cambridge 7-0 right now.
South Loop and Overton, 7-7, second quarter, currently on ESPN 1460. Norfolk Catholic and Wahoo are tied at 14 to the second quarter. West Point CC leads Osmond 16-15 in the second quarter. More scores coming up at the half. Again, Creighton beat Alma earlier today, 32-7. Ogallala over Grand Island Central Catholic, 14-10. Punting situation here, 4th and 2 at their 23. McNall boots it away. Another beautiful high kick. Simonson goes back, takes it at the 15. Going to have some room. 20 makes a man miss. 25. 30.
And it's knocked off his feet by Kalen Henderson.
Oh, that is the fastball meeting Albert Pujols' bat right there. And Mullen will have it at the 30 with 40 seconds remaining.
Anderson just flies in there with a shoulder. Never wrapped him up. Just a shoulder pad to the chest. And he goes backwards immediately.
A 42-yard punt, so McNall is doing a good job punting the ball. The clock move on that punt? I thought we had 40 seconds before the punt. It says 40 seconds now, though. And a toss sweep right side. Zach Call,
there's
here's a penalty flag. And he's going to be tackled at the 26-yard line. The tackle made by Jamison Bartra. And, of course, with the situation the way it is, Loomis will take that penalty.
Well, Keneally's on the outside trying to block Houston, and he just grabbed too much jersey that time.
So the 10-yard holding penalty will move the ball back to about the 23-yard line. And Mike Brown, a conservative power ball, power offensive guy that he is, I don't even see him taking a chance here, chucking it down the field. He's up 20-0. He's right where he wants to be. Although Loomis will get the ball to start the second half because they deferred to start the ball game. And Mullen has decided to take a timeout here, so could be wrong. Timeout on the field, they'll have one remaining. It's first down and 18 for Mullen at their own 23-yard line. They lead it 20-0 with 35 seconds to go in the first half, but we'll be right back on Classic Hits, KKPR-FM, Kearney, Loomis, Overton.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits, from its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9. Doug Duda and Tony Davis with you at Loomis as Mullen lines up at their own 18. Toss sweep, Zach Call left side, gets to the 25, gets to the 30, gets to the 33-yard line, and Mullen elects to use their final timeout. So they're looking for more here. That's going to be a gain of 10, maybe 11, but remember that was after a holding penalty. So it'll be second down and 7. We'll call it a gain of 11 for Zach Call and a timeout on the field called by Mullen. That will be their final one.
That's the thing with 8-minute football, Doug. These teams are used to having so many big plays. They think they can score no matter how much time. In the 11-man game, it would have been take a knee and go to the half, but not in 8-man.
We've got some more scores for you on the Valentino's Hotline, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Order in, carry out, stop in before or after the game, delivery in the Kearney area. Valentino's on the hill, North Central Avenue. It's a final. Hastings, St. Cecilia, 31, Crompton, 12. In the first quarter, Aquinas leads Wilbur Claytonia 3-0. Second quarter, Pierce, 14, St. Paul, 7. Halftime, Wahoo, 21, Norfolk Catholic, 14, in one of the more intriguing games of the night. Second and 7, Mullen at their own 33-yard line, 27 seconds to go, and they'll go to the left side and nowhere to go. That time for Zach Collin. They're going to hustle up to the line of scrimmage on third down here. That was kind of a weird play call, Tony.
Yeah, Parker Lindstrom, I think, gets his hand on a foot and able to bring him down. Good tackle on the outside.
Now, Loomis has decided not to burn a timeout, but Mullen's going to try and run a play. 4, 3, 2, 1. They get a snap off, and they'll hand it to Zach Call off the left side. 40, 35 of Loomis, 25, 20. Look out. Call, one man to beat, and did he get in? No! Yes, he did! Yes, he did! He stumbled and his knee hit, but they say he got into the end zone for a 55-yard touchdown on the final play of the half. He got his shoestring tackle there as Clay McNall dove, and he tripped him up, but he stumbled, and made it the last 10 yards before falling into the end zone.
Well, they had opportunity after opportunity to make a tackle, and he kept bouncing off of people, and then he had one guy to beat, and he was able to outrun him.
And as if on cue, if it wasn't bad enough, here comes the wind kicking up about 15 miles an hour, and they're going to go for two, call off the left side, and it is good.
Yeah.
So just when it looked like the Loomis Wolves had stemmed the tide here, a disastrous back-breaking play on the last play of the first half, which gives Zach Call his second touchdown of the night from 55 yards out. And at halftime, it is the Mullen Broncos 28 and the Loomis Wolves nothing. We'll be back with the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report right after this break on Classic Hits 98.9.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
Age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustace Body Shop, that's who we are.
And welcome back to Loomis, where it is time for the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report on Classic Hits 98.9 on the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. Don't let trash take up all your time. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they'll remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. And your score now at the half. Mullen scores on the first series, and they score on the last play, and they lead it 28-0. And Tony, well, we've seen teams in the college level, and it's possible to come back from 28-0, but 20-0 was doable. Loomis gets the ball to start the third quarter. You go down, you get it on the board, you get some momentum, and I know you're, well, they didn't score the whole first half, but they were moving the ball a little bit, and they could come out, get on the board, make it 20-7, and maybe be in the ball game. Now it's 28-0. And you're going to need a lot of help from Mullen, and Mullen is only going to get tougher. It's going to be handoff, handoff, handoff. Mullen will not have to throw the ball in the second half. I will make a prediction right now, Tony. Over-under passes one half by Mullen in the second half, and I don't care if it's third and 30.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Doug. They're just going to continue to run the two plays they've had success with, and it's been that it's been try and get outside, whether it's a handoff or a sweep to the left, and try to get outside or handoff to the right. I mean, it's pretty simple. Once they get that corner and get that end sealed, they've had big plays from the start of this ball game until halftime, and it's really disappointing to come away with a touchdown. They just got the snap off with 1 second. They had broken tackles, three or four, and then he got cut back to the middle of the field, and had one guy to beat, and he got tripped up, but his momentum was able to carry him into the end zone. The official right there to make the call. So, yeah, it was game, set, match. That was a real punch in the gut if you're the Loomis Wolves.
Well, and Tony, you got to give a little credit there. I think Mike Brown had that drawn up a little bit because he did huddle them. They had used their timeout. They didn't come up and spike the ball on third down for a fourth down play. They weren't trying to do anything fancy. He had Braden Storer come over. He told him what he wanted to do. They got up to the line of scrimmage. They snapped it with a second. They were hoping that Loomis would think that they were a little out of control and that maybe there was going to be some problems, that they weren't going to get the snap off. Try to create some confusion out there, and maybe they created just enough for a Zach Call to a score, and Zach Call has more yards in the first half than he averages in a game all year, and he's the second leading rusher in D2.
Yeah, Doug, you know, this is a physical. When you think Mullen football, you think you're going to get a physical football team. There's no finesse about this team. They want to get off the ball. They want to hit you in the mouth. They want to get the corner, and they want to run. They use the physicality along with the speed game to the outside. That's what they want to do. Can you think of another town the size of Mullen where you can say, Name famous people, and you go, well, Justin McBride, Stephen Dent, John Lynch, I mean, Fast Eddie Aarons, Ed Carr. I mean, you got a long list of people. But seriously, we joke because Fast Eddie from Elwood and Eddie Carr are buddies. But a town the size of Mullen and those three names, Stephen Dent, Justin McBride, and John Lynch, of course, a defensive back in the NFL. That's pretty amazing, all three of those guys come from Mullen.
Well, and that's probably the last time we got a chance to see Mullen actually play a football game a few years back. In fact, let me check when that was for you, but it was about this late in the season, I think, and I can't remember if it was the state quarters or the state semis, and let me look back here, Tony. It was back in 2003. Man, hard to believe it was that. That's when Dent was a senior.
Yeah.
They beat Kennesaw and went on to win the state championship. That was a state semifinal, unbelievable, beautiful afternoon over at Kennesaw, and it was just like this. Handed to Stephen Dent one side, handed to Stephen Dent another one. He was close to 300 yards on the day, and they won that ball game that afternoon by a score of 69-33, then went on and beat Lindsay Holy Family 30-12. They lost to Lindsay Holy Family the next year. In fact, Tony, they played Loomis and beat Loomis in the 2004 semifinals 72-30.
So, you know, that, you know, and people out there, Stephen Dent's a professional bareback rider that gets a lot of attention if you follow the PRCA rodeo circuit. You'll see him in the national finals. He's a good one. He was a tough running back and ran all over the place. Yeah, and they've been known to put up teams. They've had great teams come through Mullen, and they've got another one here. It's amazing that you see the Sergeant score the last game of the year where Sergeant blew this team off the field. Can they do it again? I guess we're going to see, but I think they probably can. Sergeant is that fast. We got a chance to do them last week when they faced off with Pleasanton.
Well, and if we want to break it down a little farther here on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, where Mullen leads Loomis at the half 28-0, Loomis has done everything to make Mullen take the ball outside, to run the ball out on the wing, to make Zach Call go outside, to make Zach Call do it all on his own, and he's showing that he can do it. I mean, they're one kind of a lucky catch on that touchdown from Keneally. He just outfought and won the battle for that football. But everything else, I thought that they've been doing a good job of. Now, let's face it, Mullen is smart enough that almost every play they call has been run left or run right. They've done a good job on taking care of the fullback, Nate Benton. They've done a good job covering the pass with Storer. They haven't let him do much when he wants to do something with the football. But Mullen, 75% of their play calls have been toss sweeps with Zach Call.
Yeah, Doug, and I mentioned Howells earlier. When people have vision to see in those state final games. It's that toss sweep to the left, toss sweep to the right, that Howells, nobody can stop. Well, this is one of the same deal. They try and lead people through it, and they block it a little bit differently, I think, at times. But Loomis has at times had an answer and be able to get people outside and turn the play back in. But when they don't, it's been 8, 10, 12 yards every time they run that play.
Well, let's take a break. We'll be back with some stats and score updates on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms Great Marinade, Rub, and Barbecue Sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
And welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Tony Davis has a look at some more scores. Tone, what do you got?
Well, Sargent's taking the Eustis Farm 26-0 right now. That's still in the second quarter. Aquinas 10, Wisner, or Wilbur Claytoni is 0. That is in the second quarter. West Point CC 22, Osmond 21 at the half. Wahoo 21, Northbrook Catholic 17 at the half. Overton a 20-7 lead at the half over South Loop right now. Last check, it was North Platte St. Pat's taking it to Cambridge at 7-0. That was still in the first quarter score. They're also in action tonight. St. Paul has been hanging around Pierce 14-7 in that one. Now that's 21-7 late in the second period of play there. It was now in final. Hastings St. Cecilia 31, Crofton 12. Many people thought that was a state championship in C2. I think that's about it, Doug.
That ball game was 14-12 at the half over at Duncan Field, and Crofton fell behind, and they're a running team too, and St. Cecilia able to make them one-dimensional and hold them out of the end zone there in the second half and head on to the state semifinals. Earlier today, there were some finals in the area. Ogallala scores late to stay unbeaten and beat Grand Island Central Catholic 14-10. They will get the St. Paul Pierce winner. 7 o'clock kickoff, Milford and Bishop Newman, Wahoo, Norfolk Catholic, as we told you about, in the Class C2, as St. Cecilia beat Crofton 31-12. They'll take on the North Platte St. Pat Cambridge winner. If it's North Platte St. Pat, they're on the road. If Cambridge wins, then it would be Cambridge and Hastings St. Cecilia in the East. Elwood Murdoch playing Archbishop. We should have a score on that for you momentarily. Wilbur Claytoni had taken on Aquinas. In Class D1 earlier today, Creighton took care of Alma 32-7. This game, Creighton made it 20-0 in the final minute of the third quarter. Alma scored early in the fourth, and then Creighton marched it back down the field and put that one away to win 32-7. So Creighton will take on the South Loop Overton winner. If Overton wins that football game, then Overton would be at Creighton on Monday. If South Loop wins, then they would host that at either Callaway or Arnold. I think Callaway, since Arnold hosted the last game when they beat Kennesaw. On the east side, Bancroft, Rosalie taking care of Brand, as you said, and Osmond against West Point Central Catholic. And in D2, Howells and Humphrey St. Francis. We should get an update on that for you here in just a little bit. And Eustace Farnham taking care of, Sergeant taking care of Eustace Farnham, and here it's 28-0, Mullen leading Lewis at the half. We'll be back with the first half stats right after this on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just three words.
Three words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
See Misco Sports. They can get you geared up for game day with brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Nike and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
For more than a decade, ENT Physicians of Kearney have provided the highest quality care to patients with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. Doctors Conley and Owen, caring for our community one patient at a time, where ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
And welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report here from Loomis, where it is Mullen 28 and Loomis nothing at the half. Here is a look at some of your first half numbers in this football game. For the Loomis Wolves, Kaelin Anderson has only carried it 3 times for 9 yards. Parker Lindstrom, 6 carries for 5 yards. Clay McNall has carried the ball twice for 8 yards. Alex Walton, 5 carries, 1 yard. He's been sacked once in this football game. And Tony, you look at that, and that is not what they're looking for tonight. 16 rushing attempts, 23 yards is what I have for Loomis.
Yeah, that's just been domination by this Mullen defense. They've got Loomis's offense off the field, and that's a problem. Loomis can't get their offense off the field. They just, they've been running at will, and then when they do, they find an opportune time and throw the ball up top, and you get a receiver like a Keneally out there strong enough to go up and bring one down and make a big play on the outside.
Well, let's take a look through the air. Alexander Walton, most of them trying to go deep. They've either been deep or shovel passes. I think they threw one underneath pass there, that 10-yard completion that Ethan Nelson made a nice play on and was able to get a first down. I've got Walton putting it up 10 times, and he has completed it 4 times, 4 of 10, 1 interception, 49 yards through the air, including a 36-yarder, the long one there to Matt Houston that got him out from their own 2-yard line earlier in the game. 49 through the air, 23 on the ground, 72 yards of offense for Loomis in the first half. That's 3 first downs. They've had the 1 interception that was picked off by Zach Call. 2 penalties for 10 yards. Loomis has punted the ball 5 times in this football game, and Clay McNall's done a pretty good job there. If you average that up, he's right around 40, 41 yards per punt for Clay McNall. We'll come back and take a look at the first half numbers for the Mullen Broncos. They lead it here at the half 28-0 right after this timeout.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms Great Marinade, Rub, and Barbecue Sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
And welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Let's take a look at the numbers we had in the first half for Mullen, and we just as well start with Zach Call because he is the offense. 23 carries, 186 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including that 55-yarder on the final play of the half. Nate Vinton, 6 carries, 16 yards. Gabe Keneally, 1 carry for no yards. Braden Storr had the quarterback sneak, 1 carry, 1 yard, and the touchdown. And so on the ground, 31 carries, 203 yards here in the first half for Mullen. Throwing the ball, Braden Storr has put it up 4 times. He's 2 of 4, 57 yards, and has a total, 2 of 4, 57 yards, no interceptions, and 1 touchdown. 57 through the air, 203 on the ground, 260 yards of offense, 13 first downs is what I had for Mullen in the first half. No turnovers, 3 penalties for 25 yards, and 3 punts, including 1 which was a touchback and 1 that landed and stayed on the 1-yard line. So a great job there by Jared Simonson. 3 punts, an average of 35 yards. The scores tonight for the Mullen Broncos, they took the opening possession and drove it 48 yards. Zach Call ran it in from 6 yards out. Then a 1-yard Braden Storer quarterback sneak. Neither extra point run was good, so with 1:01 to go first quarter, 12 to nothing. That's where it stood until Zach Call picked it off at the 5-yard line and returned it all the way to the Loomis 35. And on the very next play, Braden Storr hit Gabe Keneally on the 35-yard touchdown pass that they really battled for there with McNall, but he won the battle and took it in, made it 20-0, and then a 55-yard back-breaking touchdown run for Zach Call on the final play of the half. They snapped it with 1 second, handed it off, and he was able to go the distance, and they converted the run from Call. And so at the half, it's 28-0, Mullen Broncos, and they're fired up. We will be back with the second half in just a moment. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report for quality, dependable trash hauling control for your trash hauling service for your farm owner business. Contact professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. We'll be right back on Classic Hits 98.9, KKPR-FM, Kearney, Loomis, and Eustis.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just 3 words.
3 words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, Dr. Wilkinson provides comprehensive care in the areas of total joint replacement surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Mullen will boot it away to start the second half. And again, Keneally having trouble with the wind here and kicks this one out of bounds. And so Loomis, first and 10 at the 25-yard line, should they elect to do that. Yeah. And no, this time they're going to make him kick it over. And I guess, Tony, right now you're down 28-0. You want something to happen.
That's right.
If you start at your own 15 or you start at your own 25, there's no difference. So they're going to make him back up 5 yards here and boot it again.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Now, you got to have a big play, something to energize your team. That's what Loomis is looking for. And Jason Maskey was right out there and immediately made that call for the Wolves.
Well, and you just look at what's happening. It's getting windier. It's getting cooler.
Right.
You're the smaller team. You're getting run over. So, Loomis, if they can't get something going early, the natural tendency is to lose a little interest. And let's see what Keneally does. And this time he puts his toe into it, waiting for it back at about the 2-yard line. And into the end zone is Kalen Anderson. So there you go. They lose 10 yards by making him kick it over. And maybe that was a ploy all along. I don't know why it would be. But first and 10 here for the Loomis Wolves.
Yeah, of course, people are following this D2 bracket with Howells dropping down. They've been the perennial favorite in this class. They've taken a 6-0 lead over Humphrey St. Francis. That is early in the first quarter.
First down and 10 for Loomis. Let's see if they can get going here. Of course, you mentioned all the famous Mullen people, Bill Phipps, Matt Rogers, you know, just so many.
The list goes on.
Who could believe there was that many people in Mullen? Taking some time here to get the football set, and we're ready to go. First and 10. Loomis has had a couple. Lance Thorell. Out of the snap, Clay McNall out of the Wildcat. He goes with a little shovel pass to Kalen Anderson, who's got 5. He's got 10. He's got a first down. So Loomis has decided to change things up here. They showed a little bit of it on their last drive of the first half, and this time a shovel pass from McNall to Anderson, and it's enough to move the chains. First and 10.
Sure, Anderson.
11-yard gain.
Anderson feels somebody around his legs, looks up in the vent, and 12 yards down the field, shaking his head, going, how is he down here? He was just at the line of scrimmage.
So a first down, and this time McNall decides to keep it. And he is going to work his way up to about the 30-yard line.
Well, there's some shifty running by McNall, showing some elusiveness inside, making people miss him.
Well, Tony, this is going to be one of those where they're going to knock themselves on the noggin if this works later in the ball game than at the beginning of the ball game, because this would be a way to keep Mullen's offense off the field a little bit. You have moved Alexander Walton out to a wideout, and they're in the Wildcat, and McNall wants to throw. Got a man wide open over here and throws over the middle, and the ball's tipped and intercepted, picked off by Tyrell Wilson after it was tipped by Keneally, and what a bad break. They didn't want the short gain because standing over here all by himself, just 5 yards down the field, was Parker Lindstrom. It was one-on-one, and we've got a penalty flag, but I think it's after the interception.
Well, no, it's not. They're going to call a false start on Loomis. And so that's going to be declined. It'll be first and 10 Broncos, and they're in business already here in the third quarter to start things off. that pass was tipped by Keneally right to another white jersey, and he catches it in stride, and they're in business again.
So Loomis will have the football here. Mullen will have the football here after the Tyrell Wilson interception, and they're going to mark it around the 30-yard line of Loomis. And here is Zach Hall, left side, makes a man miss, gets down to about the 25-yard line, just keeps those shoulders and hips moving, and he's hard to get a square hit on, and he's going to pick up nice yardage there, more than 5, almost 10. Going to get a 9-yard gain. And after 186 yards in the first half, he's off to a good start here.
Yeah, he's got an oxygen tank over there for this kid. That's one of the first times they ran that play to the short side of the field.
Ball is about the 22-yard line. Fullback Vinton, and he runs into a massive humanity and is dropped down. Didn't need much. And in on the tackle that time for the Loomis Wolves, once they get him off the bottom of the pile, is Brandon Horst. But it is enough for the first down. Move it from the 21 to the 19 for Vinton.
I got to thank the Coach Reese on film. I saw them use Vinton more than they've used him tonight, because any time he's touched the ball, there has not been a whole lot there.
Just underway in this second half of play. Kearney, the green here of the Loomis Wolves, got off to a good start, got a first down, and then a pass tipped and intercepted by Tyrell Wilson. Here is the pitch play call, left side, makes a bad miss, comes back against the grain. He's hit pretty hard and stood up by Matt Houston, and he'll be brought down after a short gain. But when we say short gain when it comes to Zach Hall, we don't mean a yard, we mean 4, and it's 2nd and 6.
Yeah, there's still some hitting going on here to start things off, Doug. It's good, you know, it's good to see that. Loomis has continued to play here in the third quarter and didn't lay down after half. I think they're showing some fight in the Wolves.
Well, Loomis still has quite a few juniors on this ball club, and some of the kids that are hurt, you know, feel for Kyle Samuelson and Toby Thompson, their seniors, as they give a fullback dive here again. That time, Vinton made the ball get dropped loose. It's loose and picked up by McCall, and he's off to the races. He's trying to go all the way, and he will. A fumble recovery touchdown for the Loomis Wolves, Clay McCall, and that's the break that the Wolves need.
Well, Doug, I think it was Ethan Nelson, number 11, and they're ripping at that football. Finally, that football shot out, and the defensive back was right there to scoop it off. And then it was just him and Keneally, a race. Keneally did not have a good enough angle on him. He just outran him.
Well, we've been talking about that all night. Finally, the speed pays off. You knew once McNall picked it up that he wasn't going to get caught. It was just a matter of keeping his focus. And, boy, was he running the 100-yard dash there. We're going to call it a 70-yard fumble return. And now they're going to line up, and they're going to go for 2 here. 28-6 out of the shotgun. Walton, pitch play on the option, trying to get to the outside and diving for the pylon, and in is Parker Lindstrom. So the two-point conversion is good, and with 9:14 to go in the third quarter, the defense gets Loomis on the board. It's Mullen 28, then Loomis 8, and we'll have the kickoff right after this.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
See Misco Sports. They can get you geared up for game day with brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Nike and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Well, a bad break there for Loomis, and then they create a break on Mullen's first turnover of the football game. They scoop and score from 70 yards, and now ready to boot it away, a squib kick that goes over the front line. It'll be picked up at the 13-yard line, and making a tackle at the 15, 20, 25, 30, and finally brought down at the 31-yard line, Jared Simonson. But, Tony, they had him inside the 15-yard line, and he slips another tackle and gets 15 more yards. Mullen has had good field position all night long.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, you're trying to carry this momentum over, and you want to go down the first man through. I believe that was number 31, Brody Gardner, for these Wolves, and he fires down there, and just call just that runs out of his reach. It could have been a huge play for the Wolves to start things off with this drive.
First and 10, Mullen at the 31 after giving up their first points on defense. Zach Call tripped up in the backfield, and that time it is Brody Gardner sliding through there and no gain on the play. It'll be second down and 10.
Yeah, good job, a good penetration by Gardner, and then secures the legs, wraps him up, because Call out he's just too strong. He'll run out of a lot of those leg tackles.
And it's not the case so much anymore, Tony, but you know that's another reason Mullen has been so good. You talk about securing the legs and the tackling. They have been such a powerful wrestling program up there for so long that they've got a lot of technique there. Second down and 10, power eye formation, haven't changed it all night. Back to pass, Storr. Puff fakes, goes down the sideline to call, and it is going to be incomplete. Almost a circus catch there on the coverage, Kalen Anderson. That'll be third down and 10.
Well, Anderson really fast on the outside. Does such a good job of closing.
Lost my bat.
Oh, there.
But Loomis scored.
Yeah, there you go.
We said at halftime the over-unders on Mullen passes in the second half would be one half. And that already went over, so there's one pass. Third and 10 at their own 30-yard line. Let's see what the Broncos do this time. This time they'll give it to Call off the right side, and he's going to get three, and that's it. Steinbrink there, and wrapping him up around the legs is Matt Houston, and we're starting to call his name on both sides of the ball even more, Tony. We're going to give him a gain of three. It's fourth and seven.
Yeah, that's another good pad crunching hit. You can hear it all the way up here.
Jared Simonson, the punter, takes the snap, secures it, kicked it off the end of his foot. It's going to be a low roller, and Anderson says, no, I'm not going to pick it up. And he gets about 20 yards of roll on that inside the 20-yard line. We'll see where they finally mark it.
Yeah, that's one of those that, you know, the thing hits and squirts straight out of bounds. They save themselves about 10 yards. The thing hits, bounces back to the middle of the field and down into Loomis territory. Now your offense has got to do something, something you haven't had success with tonight.
Now let's see. At about the 15, 14-yard line, it looks like. So from the 14-yard line, about a 33-yard punt that time and no return. And they went to this wildcat with Clay McNall playing Rex Burkhead. And before we can get anything going, we've got illegal procedure here on the Loomis Wolves. That'll be their third penalty of the night.
But that's something here when you try and you've got them three and out, exactly what you want to do, and then you do exactly what you don't want to do. First and 15.
More scores coming up here in just a moment from the Valentino's hotline. 7:56 to go here in the third quarter. Mullen 28 and Loomis 8, and Loomis has the ball. Scoring on a 70-yard fumble return, and that's about where they're at now at their own 9. And this time McNall busted play, turns, tries to hand it off, and he handed it off to a man that was already being tackled, Tony. Nowhere to go on that play for the fullback, Parker Lindstrom.
Well, Gray and Spees both there. It looked like they were taking down a calf in the stockyard there.
We're going to say no game, but, I mean, literally it looked like McNall got turned around, and Lindstrom was being tackled before he even had the ball. If McNall pulls that out of there, he probably has a little bit of a running lane, but you got to assume that they haven't done this a whole lot this year as Lindstrom's behind him. Second down and 15. McNall swings it out here to Lindstrom at one-on-one, makes a man miss, but the second man comes up and makes a nice tackle after a short gain. That's Zach Call. Around the 15-yard line, which is back around the original line of scrimmage, it'll be third down and long, and maybe I've got it wrong again. We can't see that side of the field very well, and I apologize for that. Looks like they get two on the play, third and 14.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. And now if you're Loomis, do you try and get Ethan Nelson or somebody down the field like you tried in the first half, Doug, to outrun everybody and make a big play?
Well, Walton's not your quarterback anymore. McNall is, and he's going to pass it out here, a short one. He completes it to Walton, and Walton makes the catch, gets up to the 20-yard line, but is going to be short of the first down. So they ran that play earlier, and Ethan Nelson was able to make a man miss. This time, Alex Walton didn't get enough, and it's going to be fourth down and 5, a gain of about 9 on the play, but a punting situation now.
The Licking gets his hands up, number 70 from the defensive end position. Probably lucky to get that ball through the line of scrimmage and get it to the receiver.
Clay McNall goes back to punt. A little wind at his back. Buda's away, and that's not the best one of his tonight. It bounces at the 30 and bounces back into the field of play, so he gets a little roll, 25, 24-yard line.
Well, there's a favor back at you because that looked like that was going to bounce out of bounds about the 30-yard line, and they pick up another 7 yards on that.
That's a 36-yard punt with no return, but it is the sixth punt of the night for the Loomis Wolves. And with 6:02 to go here in the third quarter, Mullen 28 and Loomis 8. Tony, any more scores for us on the Valentino hotline? They keep rolling in.
Well, I did see right before the half, Eustace Farnham did get on the board. Sergeant Ellie's 26-6 on that one. Aquinas 17, Wilbur Clay, Tony is 7 at the half. Humphrey St. Francis 8, Howell 6 in the first quarter.
There you go. Hand off right side. Zach Call following his big lineman. Still on his feet. 35 and out to the 40-yard line. Great job by Nate Vinton. He just got on his back and followed him all the way up the field. Again, they had him wrapped up after a short gain, and he gets about 10 more, and they're going to place it right at the midfield stripe. A gain of 17 for Zach Call.
Well, Call is not overly tall. I guess he's listed at 185. He looks a little slimmer than that to me, but he just keeps those legs running and just people bounce off of him. That's something Loomis has done well all year, has been tackle once they get to the ball carrier.
First and 10 at midfield for the Broncos. Toss sweep left side. Zach Call trying to get outside, and he's hit and brought down. The first man there was Kalen Anderson, and finishing things off was Brody Gardner.
Yeah, good job on the outside once again. But Doug, see, they turn that play in and make him go back inside. That outside guy has got to get up the field and turn that play in.
5-10 and counting, 28-8 Mullen. Mullen scored on a 55-yard run on the final play of the first half and then picked off Loomis on the first series. But then they fumbled it, and a 70-yard fumble return by Clay McNall got Loomis on the board. And here is Braden Score on a quarterback sweep right side. The entire fan base saw the hold, and driving him out of bounds on the tackle is Kyle Rademacher. And, Tony, now here's a case where maybe you decline the hold. It's either second and 20 or third and 11, maybe 12.
Yeah, good job once again. Houston was over there.
And it looks like they have elected to take the penalty here. Dennis Reese saying, let's push him back. That was a great job of containing Braden Store. Tony, that's the first time Mullen had run that play all night long.
Yeah, much better job, though, Doug, the last two times of getting people to the outside. I think they've got away from containing that fullback. They're just saying, hey, he isn't going to kill us. We've got to get these guys on the outside.
Well, the officials got plenty of help on that call. It was like the Christmas Carol. The chorus was right here. So a 10-yard holding penalty here goes against Mullen. That is their fourth penalty of the night for 35 yards. Marks the ball back at the 28-yard line, and it's going to be second down and about 22. Store hands it off, Call, left side, little room, steps out of a tackle, 30, 35, 40, 35, and he's passed the secondary, 30, 25, and pushed out of bounds at the 19-yard line.
Well, Anderson certainly proving tonight he'll hit with anybody in the state. He put a lick on Call, but the damage had been done. They're trying to run to the outside, and when he cuts back to the middle of the field, that's the problem. Nobody's there, so maybe one of those pick-your-poison deals.
It's twice tonight that Loomis has elected to take the penalty, and Mullen has made him pay for it, and they did it again right there.
Doug, a new final I don't think we've called tonight. Bancroft Rose will lead 58, Friend 22. That game has now went final.
That is a gain of 34 on the play and moves the ball down to the Loomis 19-yard line. Quarterback Braden Storr gets him under center. Fullback Vinton, and he's wrapped up and brought down right away by Jamison Bartruff. Well, Vinton, he is not getting much tonight at all. They're going to give him a generous spot of 2 yards. I've got him for 8 carries and 21 yards.
Yeah, they've done a really good job of just wrapping him up, bringing him down right at the point of contact.
You're listening to the state football playoffs on Classic Hits 98.9 of the World Wide Web, KKPR-FM, Kearney, Loomis, and Bertrand. 28-8 your score. Second down and 8 at the 17 of Loomis for Mullen. They have the lead. Call to the right side, the short side. Steps over a man, gets to the 15, gets to the 10. Tightrope. He got in, but they say that he did step out of bounds.
They're going to call him out of bounds right at the 5-yard line, Doug. Right at the 5-yard line. Official right there immediately making that call.
That's enough to make it first down and goal now for Loomis. They've only been in this situation a couple of times tonight. That's how they got their first 2 scores. The second 2 scores were long plays, a 35-yard touchdown pass and the 55-yard Zach Call run. I've got Zach right now for 252 yards on the ground so far. And it's first and goal. He's got 2 rushing touchdowns. Ball on the near hash by the Loomis sideline. First and goal at the 5. They'll turn. They'll hand it to Call off the left sideline. And this time he's going to be tripped up and get most of what he needs, but not all of what he needs. Down to about the 2. It'll be second and goal.
But we've got to see a lot of playoff games the last 3 or 4 years, and I think the lap total, like the 250 yards, has to be Legate now, the fullback in Nebraska, when he rushed for what he did, about 44 carries against Ravenna that night.
Yeah, from Neely Oakdale, he's a pretty darn good running back. Second down and goal inside the 3-yard line, ball right in the middle of the football field. Braden Storr calls the count. He's going to keep it right up the middle and into the end zone for an easy touchdown. His second sneak of the night, and Mullen is up 34-8.
Loomis just on their heels too much there. They did a quick snap there. That was easy pickings for the Broncos. 34-8, and Mullen back well in control of this football game. 3:22 remains here in the third quarter play.
And they'll line up and go for the two-point conversion. They made their first two, or missed their first two, made their second two. And they'll line up to go for two again. And, Tony, they've moved their ends in a couple of times, but it's been the same formation every snap of this football game. They want to throw it. They'll throw it into the end zone and trying to get it to Keneally, incomplete. They overthrew him that time, and the pass will be incomplete. Excuse me, that was Brian Gray they tried to get it to, not Keneally. 3:22 to go, third quarter. Mullen 34, Loomis 8. Back with more of the D2 State playoffs after this on Classic Hits.
For more than a decade, ENT Physicians of Kearney have provided the highest quality care to patients with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. Doctors Conley and Owen, caring for our community one patient at a time, where ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors for allowing us to bring you high school sports action throughout the season. Tonight, the Class D2 quarterfinals, and right now Mullen is in control as Keneally boots it away. Should be returnable. Anderson comes up and takes it near the 4. Now wants to reverse his field. Looks for a block. Makes a man miss at the 10. Makes another man miss. Simonson 15. Out to the 20. Still breaking tackles. And down to near the 25-yard line. That's a lot of running for Kalen Anderson, but let's be honest, Tony. He hasn't got a chance to do much tonight. He's only ran the ball 3 times in this football game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You want to get him open in some space. So, obviously, Anderson, one of the fastest people in Loomis. You got to think since Lance Thoreau. I see Mike Thoreau walking underneath us right now. Lance's father are taking in the action here tonight.
And we've got to see Lance get in the ball game and play a little bit at Ames this weekend and make a couple of nice plays helping the Huskers out when Gomes got hurt. First and 10 at their own 25. McDowell back to pass. Looking to the sideline. It's covered. Now what's he going to do? He reverses field. He's got a lineman to beat. He's got a lot of running room if he can do that. But he doesn't. He got tripped up from behind and coming in to make the tackle there. Hinton makes the tackle. He only got one out of it. Boy, he scrambled around so long. Everybody was to the left side. He went to the right side and couldn't quite get around the one man. The defensive lineman actually helped run him down over there.
Well, Licking is over there too, Doug. He's right defensive end all the way across the field.
That was the guy that made the tackle because Nate Benton was trying to hem him in.
Yeah.
Second down and 9 at the 26-yard line. On this Tuesday night, state volleyball Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Plenty of action, including Axtell out of the FKC. Now Walton back to pass. Pump fake going for it all. He's got a man down the field, but overthrows Clay McNall. And Tony, McNall didn't go straight fly pattern there. He looked back and slowed his route up a little bit and was overthrown.
Well, you got to think this wind really pushed that ball, Doug. I think he saw the ball and they thought this is going to be about right, and the ball just sailed about 4 yards over his head.
And Mullen has done a good job on their coverage. Yeah, they really have, pretty much all night long. They're playing fairly man-to-man, and as you can tell, the gust of wind comes up, and we're going about 25 mile an hour right now. Third down and 9, Walton pump fake, looking to go underneath with a little screen pass, complete, 30, 35, and right at the first down marker is Matt Houston. Ran an underneath little pass play for the first time tonight, and that's enough for a first down. 10 yards on the play.
Boy, Houston really physical runner that time, dropping her shoulder, knocking people down.
2:11 to go in the third quarter. It's 34-8, Mullen. They were up 28-0 at the half, 12-0 at the end of the first quarter. Loomis looking for their first offensive score of the night. They had a 70-yard fumble return earlier in this quarter. Walton back at the quarterback. Option play, pump fake. He wants to run, and he is going to be tripped up. Combination there of Nick Licking and also number 73, Wilson, in on the tackle.
Well, once he beat that first guy, if he could have somehow got the ball out to Lindstrom, I think they would have had a big play on the outside, but they just didn't have time for the thing to develop at all.
34-8, a minute 30 to go in the third quarter, a loss of about a half a yard. We'll keep it at second down and 10. Ball at their own 35-yard line for the Wolves. Now they go to a power look with split backs. Walton, hard count. He's going to fake it, drop back to pass, throw out here to his right end, and it is incomplete, trying to get it to Ethan Nelson and Cabe Keneally doing it. I think the one thing, Tony, that we just, and maybe even a lot of the folks that have scouted this football team, we didn't expect, is that for as big as this football team is for Mullen, they are pretty quick where they need to be. Their tight ends, their defensive ends, which are the same guys, are out there and able to cover that kind of play.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Runs very, very well. And he's step for step with Nelson on the outside of that play. You go to a power set, you think they're going to run the football, but he doesn't fall for any of it.
Third down and 10, handoff up the middle, and there is absolutely nothing there. A gain of a yard for number 10, Kalen Anderson. It'll be fourth down and 9, and the wind has actually changed directions here a little bit. It's blowing into the Loomis face, and now swirling from north to south, and this is about as bad as it's been all night. With a minute to go here in the third quarter, and it is 34-8.
Well, they're going to go. Yeah, they're going to send him in to go for it. Walton comes back in. I know he's frustrated. He smacked his hand at the end of that play, and here comes Call back up into the action.
So it's going to be fourth down and 9 on their own side of the 35-yard line for Loomis. Checking with the sideline here, I formation. And a penalty flag comes out. The referee threw out the wrong. He threw his beanbag out, then he threw his whistle. Then he said, oh, here's my flag. Well, Loomis was trying to draw Mullen offside to give him a 4th and 5 where they might go for it. Now it's a delay of game, and they will punt the ball.
Yeah, as well as they punted the ball, they should be able to have an opportunity here to get him inside the 15-yard line, barring the return. I think I kick it away. I don't like to see the return game kill you in 8-man action, and we certainly don't want to come and bite them here.
The ball spotted at about the 32-yard line, 31. McNall will boot it away. Another great high punt, and they're just going to let this one go, and it bounces into the end zone for a 48-yard punt. No return, and Mullen will take over at their 15.
That's another great, very, very well-struck punt by McNall. He's been great all night.
You better tell Stu he could be your All-State punter.
No, he'll pick somebody to play quarterback for that, probably.
29
Just
seconds.
Just kidding, Stu. I know you're listening right now.
29 seconds to go here in the third quarter of play. Pierce now up on St. Paul, 28-7. Bishop Newman leads Milford 7-2 in the second quarter. Overton still a 20-7 lead over South Loop on ESPN 1460 and 1550. Here's a trap play. Vinton, biggest hole of the night. He'll get to the 20, 21-yard line. It's 6, but that's his biggest gain of the night.
Uh-oh.
17 seconds to go here in the third quarter, and it doesn't look like Mullen would have to run another play, and it doesn't look like they will run another play. So there's a quarter left in the season, and unless Loomis can find a miracle, then their season is going to come to an end. It's Mullen 34 and Loomis 8. We'll be back with fourth quarter action after this timeout on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits. From its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
Well, we head to the fourth quarter. And it looks like Sargent and Mullen are on their way to a rematch, Tony.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. 26-6, Sargent ahead of
34.
Oh, 34-6. Now Sargent leads Eustace Barnum in 34-8. Mullen leads Loomis here at this side of the bracket.
Mullen to start the fourth quarter on 2nd and 4, and they are going to go straight up the middle this time.
Quick whistle. Maybe they had a false start there, but they're going to go ahead and say.
Looks like Benton carried it and got enough for the first down. He's going to get it to the 26-yard line.
Doug Pierce pulling away from St. Paul now, 28-7 in the third quarter. Bergen taking a 14-7 lead over Elmwood Murdoch.
First down and 10 here for the Mullen Broncos at their own 26-yard line, leading at 34-8. First minute of the fourth quarter. Here's a counterplay to Benton, and they're giving him some work now. Why bother giving it to Zach Call? I've got him for 255 yards, and you don't want to get him hurt, and so they give it to the bigger boy, Benton, who secures the ball and picks up 5 more up to the 31.
Yeah, you want to run that clock right now, and if you get a 5 yards a chunk, that's good enough for what you're doing here tonight.
Don't forget, later tonight, the Misco Sports postgame show when we wrap things up in our final scoreboard show of the year with scores and recaps from area games after our contest. And again, they go on a fullback dive here, and not much for Vinton that time, maybe a yard and a half. We'll call it 3rd down and 3. We'll give him officially 2.
Like a weird score from a Class C1, but I don't think we said tonight. Bishop Newman, 7 to Milford, 2. In that one, so safety in that one. Of course, Milford won that opening round game of the playoffs 3-0.
And a lot of people believe that Milford goes down tonight. 3rd down and 2, high formation, and they will give it to Call. Sweep left side, and he is going to be hit it, not get it. Loomis sold out that time and didn't let him get to the line of scrimmage. And in on the tackle, Hans Steinbring get over there, Tony.
Yeah, he came over there, one of the first people there was Damon Steinbrink, and there was a host of, there's a pack of wolves over there ensuring he didn't get that first down.
That call actually going to lose a yard on the play, and the 5th punt of the night for Mullen. Yes, they have punted it 5 times. Simonson to boot it away, a little bit of a rush. It's a high punt, and Loomis decides to just let it bounce, and they hope it gets to the end zone, and it does get to the end zone. It actually got just in the end zone and then kick back about 2 yards, but the punt goes into the end zone, and Loomis once again will have to take over at their own 15. It's 34-8 Mullen with 9:57 to go in the football game.
Yeah, Loomis' field position all night has not been good. This part of the playoffs, the teams that you're made, you know you're an awful good football team if you're playing tonight. But you're really separating when you're seeing scores like Sargent taking in Mullen in this one.
First down and 10 at their own 15. They spread it out of that wildcat, and they'll go with a little shovel pass. But again, Anderson is being tackled while he's catching the football, and they're all over that. Tyrell Wilson is doing a great job inside to take care of that, and it's going to be no gain on a little shovel pass. Tony, kind of surprisingly, unless I'm forgetting one, we haven't had any upsets today. Grand Isle Catholic just about did it to Ogallala. Ogallala scoring late to win it 14-10. Central Catholic ends 6-5, and Ogallala now 11-0, and it looks like they'll get Pierce.
Well, that's what it looks like. I think a lot of people were expecting that matchup.
2nd and 10, Clay McNall now. He's taken over the quarterback, kind of a wildcat here in the second half. He wants to throw. He's going to throw it underneath. The ball tipped and almost completed to Parker Lindstrom. And Wilson's out there again in coverage. He's everywhere.
Yeah, Tyrell Wilson goes up, and he actually mistimed his jump. Ball goes right over his fingertips, right in the arms of Lindstrom. But Lindstrom, figuring the ball was knocked away, he kind of took his concentration away from it.
Tried to just go with a little bit of a wheel route there, and it did not work. Stops the clock with 9:13 to go in this football game. Mullen's defense has been outstanding tonight. Loomis's only score was a defensive fumble return. On 3rd down and 10, McNall drops back as far as he can, a little screen, and it is complete to Ethan Nelson, 20-21, but it'll be brought down there by Keneally, and it'll be short of the first down, 4th down and 4.
Well, you could tell Nelson knew Keneally was closing in on him. Did a good job of getting low to the ground, so he didn't take a big shot on that outside play.
I'd like to say congratulations to all of our other radio brethren tonight that are finishing up their football games in warm, climate-controlled press boxes as we sit outside in the elements. Could be worse, and it's been worse a lot of times. Time to punt here for Loomis. 4th and 4. McNall into that wind, not going to get much on this one. Same pump, but the wind knocks it down, bounces at the 40, inside the 35. Got a nice little roll. 30. And let's see where they finally mark that one down. Mullen will have it first down and 10 at around the 25-yard line. So, again, the punting's been pretty good tonight. There's been plenty of it.
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, when you're a team that's 9-1 entering this contest, a lot of those games are blowouts in your favor. You don't need your punter as much as they've needed tonight, certainly, but we've all done a good job here.
Now the wind just howling now here at Loomis. I'm going to find that professor I had in meteorologist class and punch him right in the nose. They always taught you that the wind went down when the sun went down. Not in Nebraska, people. Shotgun direct snap here for Mullen, and Keneally is running the football. He wants in on the action, and straight ahead he goes near the first down marker at the 33-yard line. He's going to be 1 yard short. It'll be second down and one.
Well, Keneally, as athletic as he is, Doug, you've got to find a way, I think, to keep him a little bit pacified, to get him the ball every once in a while. When you throw the ball, they came into this game averaging throwing the ball 4 times a game. That's on average. So he doesn't throw it up a lot to him.
They've thrown it 5 times tonight. Keneally does have 1 touchdown reception tonight. Second down and one. Keneally is actually the quarterback now. He turns, and he is going to hand it off up the middle, and we've got a penalty flag. Not much, maybe enough to get that first down. They only needed one, but a penalty flag came down from the back judge there. Vinton carried it, but we've got illegal procedure on Mullen, and that's going to back him up 5 yards.
That's a little interesting here, seeing Keneally go over to the bench and get the plays and bring him back in. Doug Osmond, 35, West Point CC, 22 in that ball game. Howell's 18, Humphrey 8 in the second quarter.
We've got 7:43 to go here in this football game. 34-8, Mullen. They've led the whole way. They scored on their opening drive, 12-0 after one. Zach Call had a 55-yard run on the final play of the first half to make it 28-0 once they added the conversion. Here's a different look. They stack it to the left side, direct snap Keneally, and Keneally makes one man miss and barely gets back to the line of scrimmage before he is wrapped up. So Mullen having a little fun here on the road here with a comfortable lead, 34-8, giving some different kids an opportunity here. It's going to be no gain, third down and 5.
Well, Doug, you still got most of the starters out there, and I think as cold as this night is, and you got people that aren't warmed up, putting them in with 7 minutes to go here when you get another game beyond this one really isn't what you want to do here.
High formation, third and 5 at their own 30. And Keneally has it off on an inside. It's fumbled, and Loomis has covered the ball.
Yeah, Damon Steinbrink coming up with it.
Damon Steinbrink fumble recovery on the inside trap to the left end. Brian Gray, who didn't handle it, and the second turnover tonight for the Mullen Broncos.
Yeah, good job that time with the one-on-one. He was going to make a one-on-one tackle. He wraps him up, the ball squirts out, and he just falls on it.
So, Tony's cousin, David Steinbrink, in on the fumble recovery.
Hey, I better give a shout-out to my Uncle Robert's sister, Debbie, listening on the web just outside the Washington, D.C. area tonight.
Oh, gorgeous in the nation's capital tonight, I am sure. 6:57 to go here in the ball game. Mullen on defense now, first and 10 at the Mullen 30. And it's going to be a halfback pass here. Lindstrom, nobody to throw it to, and he makes one man miss, tries to run, and he's going to be sacked. Back at the 37-yard line, they're going to lose 3 on the play, second and 13, so trying some trickery there, and it didn't work.
Well, they're trying to get a quarterback throwback of the play developed, and McNall's down the field about 15 yards beyond everybody, standing there and saying, looking back saying, oh, no.
So that'll bring up second down. We'll call it 13 yards to go. Move it back to about the 38-yard line, the 33-yard line. 34-8, Mullen. As we play the final quarter of the season here for the Loomis Wolves, McNall under center, going to turn, hand it to Anderson, tries to get to the right side, gets a little room, and he's going to be drugged down from behind inside the 30-yard line, got back the yardage they lost on the last play, plus maybe a yard more. It'll be third down and 9. That's just the 4th carry of the ball game tonight for Kalen Anderson, who averages 103 yards per ball game tonight, 15.
Yeah, that says a lot about this Mullen Bronco defense, how good they are.
And that'll bring up third down at 9 yards to go at the 30-yard line. Snap to McNall, back to pass. Here comes pressure. Throw it underneath. He's got a man complete, Nelson, and he is swallowed up immediately. And making the tackle is Keneally. And they're going to stay.
Incomplete pass.
Are they going to say it hit the ground?
The
okay. It did drop, hit the ground, they say. So it's going to be fourth down and 10, fourth down and 9 at the 29-yard line. And they'll go forward here, of course, with the Clay McNall running back in there. Of course, Alex Walton started the game, played almost the entire first half at quarterback. They just tried to do a little wildcat. It worked for a while. Now it seems like Mullen has that sniffed out as well. McNall in a little pistol look will send Anderson in motion on fourth down and 9. Straight back to pass, throws it underneath to Anderson, and he is going to catch it, but be tackled well short of the first down by Zach Call. We'll give him 5 yards, and Loomis will turn it over on downs.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of leaves you shaking your head. You got to get all the markers on that one if you're going to move the chains. You know, we got buddies that are Chicago Bears fans. I go, that's the old third and six, and we throw the 4-yard pass. What are we doing?
Well, they got some yards, but not enough yards, and Mullen will take over. First down and 10, and the ball will be spotted at about the 25-yard line here, up 34-8. 5:32 to go in this football game.
Here comes the second team. Everybody new in there.
We'll have some score updates for you here in just a little bit. Out of the I formation, they'll turn, they'll hand it off, and bringing it up to about the 28-yard line is going to be the new I back, and that is Jared Sperlin. Sperlin, 155-pound senior. So it looks like Zach Call's night is done. 254 yards in the ball game tonight. Sperlin is going to pick up two.
Riley Rice, a sophomore quarterback in, no relation to Ray.
And they'll turn and hand it off on the right side. This time carrying the football is going to be Trent Porth, 145-pound junior. Minimal gain off the right side. He'll get a couple, maybe three. We'll call it third down and 5.
Hey, you've seen all new faces in for the Wolves now, too. So, obviously, Dennis Reese conceding this game. And, to start the second half or end the first half like he did with no time left, they scored a touchdown. Really was a knockout punch tonight.
Third down and 5, Mullen at their own 31-yard line out of the I formation here. Little bobble on the snap. Turn and hand it off to the I back, who is going to be stacked up. Steinbrink and company on the tackle. Carrying the football that time was the I back, Porth. And he's going to get a yard and a half. We'll call it fourth and 3. And a punting situation here for Mullen. 4:15 of the clock running in the fourth quarter. Been a pretty clean ball game. Couple of penalties each way. Couple of turnovers each way. But Mullen in control and coasting through this second half. Each team has one touchdown in the second half. And there's the punt that the Loomis is going to let bounce over their head and then trying to pick it up, back at about the 1-yard line and getting out of there, Kyle Rademacher. And he's not going to make the wise decision. He's going to be brought down short of the 10-yard line there after another good punt from Jared Simonson.
That's one of those Mullins going to send their first team punting unit back in because the coach saying, we don't have a second team punting unit. We hardly used our first team punting unit this year.
Going to be about a 45-yard punt, and any of those with the wind at their back has been pretty awesome. And Rademacher did bring it back out to about the 10-yard line. So 3:52 to go on the ball game, 34-8 Mullen. Mullen is bringing in some second-teamers on defense, not all, but some. And for Loomis, it looks like they stay with a majority of the same kids here at their own 10-yard line. McNall takes the toss sweep. Pressure coming. He'll throw the ball, and it's going to be complete on a little stop route. Matt Houston at the 20, 25, makes a man miss and brings it out to the 29-yard line. A gain of 19 on the play.
Yeah, good job by Houston coming back, catching the football, and then coverage broke down on the outside. Nice game for the Wolves.
I have that as just the sixth first down of the ball game tonight for Loomis, who would like to get one on the board. Again, their only score was McNall's 70-yard fumble return early in the third quarter of play. The wind continues to howl here at Loomis, 34-8. First down and 10 at their own 29-yard line. McNall on the option, fakes the pitch. They went to the pitch man, and he's got room. 30, 35, 40, and McNall got by everybody. It's a foot race to the end zone, and Clay takes it all the way for his second touchdown of the night. A 51-yard touchdown run for the junior, Clay McNall.
Yeah, good job by McNall making people commit. And then once he faked the pitch, made a guy bite on that, got the center of the field. There was nobody there. He just breaks it back towards the south side of this field and off the race he went.
Obviously the biggest offensive play of the night. And over here, Coach Dennis Reese talking to some of his younger kids about maybe getting them back into the ball game here with 3:21 to go. They're going to line up for an extra point kick. Brandon Horst to kick it. McNall is the holder. Horst, of course, is the man that got him here, and this kick is no good. It is wide to the left. He kicked game-winning extra point with 15 seconds up at O'Neill last week. So, with 3:21 to go in the ball game, it is now Mullen 34 and Loomis 14. We're back with the kick after this on Classic Hits 98.9 on the World Wide Web at KKPR.com.
Age 50 or older, hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
They line up for the kickoff here. And putting it on the tee is going to be Brandon Horst as the wind just howls even more. It's not going to be an onside. It's going to be a squib kick that is taken back at about the 15-yard line by Jared Simonson. And he puts the running shoes on to the right side, 20-25. And he's going to be out close to the 30-yard line. And that's where the Mullen Broncos will take over. Tony, the winner of this gets either Sargent or Eustace Barnum. Scores that we have at this point on the Valentino's Hotline.
Well, Cambridge has narrowed that score, but they missed the extra point. North Platteland, St. Pat, 7. Cambridge, 6 in the third quarter. Norfolk Catholic, 28. Wahoo, 21 in the third quarter. Pierce, 35. St. Paul, 7, a fourth quarter score. Osmond, 35. Central Catholic out of West Point, 22. And Howells continues to lead Humphrey in the second quarter, 18-8 in that ball game.
Of course, the Overton South Loop game on our sister station, ESPN 1460 and 1550. We'll get a score update for you in just a moment. Earlier today, Creighton beat Alma. Hastings St. Cecilia was a winner. Here's a handoff over the right side. The second teamers continue to stay in there right now for the Mullen Broncos.
Creighton took care of Alma, Doug. I hope you didn't just say that one.
Trying to pick up a couple of numbers of the new kids in there. We apologize again. Not a very good vantage point from where we're at right now, but I think carrying the ball that time was Trent Porsche. Got nothing on the play. Now they'll give it to him again off the right side. A little bit of running room and shoved down after a gain of about 3.
Birdie Gardner in on the stop for the Wolves that time.
And there's a penalty flag. And penalty flag is going to be on Mullen, and it's going to be a hold. So that'll push him back 10 yards. Well, we will have more football next week for you. And the wind just continues to howl here. It's getting worse and worse. And I'm not going to lie, it's going to be a short post game, folks. 34-14, Mullen in control, most likely headed to hosting Sargent in the state playoff semifinals. And don't forget all of the state finals on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550, the Monday and Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
It will be warm there, won't it?
Who knows what they do to you down there. We've been on both sides, and now it looks like
now the Mullen, kids.
Mullen with some gamesmanship trying to draw Loomis off sides. We don't need that right now, but it will work. Off sides. Offside. 2:45 left to go in this football game. Glad you're along with us, surviving the conditions here tonight, and turning and handing it off, trying to get some running room. Mullen not going to get anything to the outside. A good tackle by Kyle Rademacher on Jared Sperlin, who actually spun out of the tackle but spun down right on the sideline, so he was out of bounds. And Sperlin only gets a yard on the play, and that'll bring up third down and 14. Of course, there was a hold and then the offside, so that's how we're at the 14 mark. 2:10 and counting here on KKPR-FM. Kearney, Loomis, Atlanta, and Sacramento. That's just for you, Tony.
I appreciate it.
Hand off on the left side, trying to get some running room is the new eye back, Trent Porth, and Porth will get 4, maybe 5 yards before he's brought down there and make it 4th down and 9.
Well, right now, I think if you're... Yeah, you want to get the first down. Obviously, now the Mullen's over there going, what do we send our first team punt unit back out? Yeah, that's what they're going to do. It took them a while to decide what they wanted to do, if they wanted to go for it.
Kelly Burt and Kyle Rademacher are going to drop back and hope that one of them gets an opportunity here to return this football. Burt, a senior, the boot away. by Jared Simonson, and it's going to be fielded and then fumbled at the 20. The ball is loose, and there's still a scramble for it at about the 18. I don't think there's been one punt fielded cleanly tonight. There's only been two or three attempted, and most of those were by Simonson himself trying to return the punts. And it looks like Loomis covers the ball back at about the 18-yard line.
Yeah, with the wind blowing, I can't really fault the kids for that. The wind blowing like it has, especially here in the second half.
So that one was not one of his better punts of the night, but with just a minute 21 to go, the folks are heading for the exits and warmer spots here. Don't forget, coming up, the Misco Sports postgame show. We'll also have a look at the final stats and then our scoreboard show. If the South Loop Overton game is continuing, then we will join that game in progress as well on ESPN Radio. Loomis is trying to get some new kids in there, so they call a timeout. We'll take one with them. 1:21 to go in the game, 34-14. Mullen, we'll be right back.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Egg West. You gotta go eggwest.com. Go Egg West.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
And we're back here. Loomis trying to get some new kids into the ball game, and that's what they've done. The new quarterback is Matt Gray. He'll turn and hand it straight ahead. Not much there for the new running back, who looks like his number 38 freshman, Austin Brown.
Cambridge is just taking a 12-7 lead. The Baby Bull, Gus Peterson, breaking loose for a 55-yard touchdown in that one.
Second down and 9 here for Loomis. Final minute of the football game. Back to pass. They want to throw it. Left-hander fires it down the field. Incomplete. Trying to get it to J.C. Holt was the sophomore quarterback, Matt Gray. And now probably everybody that hasn't been on the field trots in there for what could be the last play of the ball game with 50 seconds to go. The clock stopped on 3rd and 9.
Boy, if I get my hands on Jason Mask, I'm going to tell him he's going to throw another pass. Make sure the thing's complete.
It is. It is
every time
the weather
stops, it just makes you cringe.
Or as nice as it was yesterday, the front has moved in. I formation, 3rd and 9 here with 50 seconds to go in the ball game. Loomis had a great season. Toss sweep right side, looking for a little room. It's going to be Kelly Burnt. He'll get out to the 20-yard line and pick up about 2 yards. 40 seconds to go, and Tony, this is where you just say congratulations to Dennis Reese and his staff. Lost on almost a fluke play to their rival, of course, your hometown, Bertrand, but, you know, a tip pass at the very end that went in on them. And tonight, the physicality and maybe a little quicker team than we thought in Mullen, able to jump out and get the job done. Loomis just not big enough to do what Mullen did tonight. And on 4th down and 7, they'll go for it here. Gray turns. He's going to hand it off. No, he's going to try and keep it himself around the left end. He gets to the 25, the 30, and he's got a first down. And that means Loomis, with 6 seconds to go, will have the football here at the 31-yard line and pick up their 8th first down of the ball game. And I'm not sure if he got out of bounds or not. If he didn't, then they don't have to snap the ball. He didn't. The clock runs, and this football game is over. The Mullen Broncos improved to 10-1 on the season. The Loomis Wolves end the 2010 season with a very impressive 9-2 record. And it looks like Mullen will head home for a state semifinal rematch with the only team to beat him this year next Monday night when they welcome in Sargent. The final score, the Mullen Broncos 34, and the Loomis Wolves 14. We'll be back with the Misco Sports postgame show right after this timeout on Classic Hits 98.9.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out, or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Hello?
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, asking you to describe us in just 3 words.
3 words. How about awesome, cool, and awesome?
Visit Builders to make your project awesome, cool, and awesome.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Lauren specializes in the treatment of foot and ankle problems. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
And welcome back to Loomis. I want to thank Coach Dennis Reese and his entire staff and the folks here at Loomis for their hospitality, where it's time for the Misco Sports postgame show. Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. See them before the games begin, and now that you're looking into the winter sports season, whether it's wrestling, whether it's basketball, Misco Sports can help you out. They've got the shoes, they've got the basketballs, they've got the practice equipment, they've got the gym bags, everything you need. And, of course, Husker fans have got over 40 styles of men's, women's, and children's shirts from their T-shirts, their sweatshirts, whatever you want at Misco Sports. Tony, let's take a look at some scores here while I try to finish up some of the stats, if you would.
Adelita's check. Douglas, Bishop Newman, 14. Milford, 9. That is at halftime. West Point CC, 36. Osmond, 35 in the fourth quarter of that one. Bergen, 14. Edward Murdoch, 7 at the half. Sargent, 34. Eustace Farnham, 12. Late in the third quarter. Cambridge, 12. North Platte, St. Pat's. We mentioned that. That's after three quarters of play. Overton just about wrapping up. Arnold Callaway, they are taking a 20-7 lead in that one. They will advance on to head to Creighton. Norfolk Catholic, 28. Wahoo, 21 in the third quarter. And Pierce has ended St. Paul's season 35-7 in that one. Howells at last check, 18. Humphrey, St. Francis, 8 in the second quarter. Aquinas, 17. Wilbur Claytonia, 10 in the third quarter. Bishop, we better get that score updated. That's all we got, Doug.
All right, let's take a look at what we have right now in our final stats for the Misco Sports postgame show. I had Kalen Anderson, 5 carries for 15 yards. Kelly Burnt, 1 carry for 2 yards. Matt Gray, 1 carry for 12 yards. Parker Lindstrom, 8 carries for 2 yards. Clay McNall, 5 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown. Alex Walton, 6 carries for 1 yard. And Austin Brown, 1 carry for 1 yard. 27 carries, 98 yards in the football game tonight for Kearney Catholic. Through the air, I had Alex Walton going 5 out of 13, had one interception and 59 yards. Matt Gray tried one pass, was incomplete, and then when they went to that Wildcat, Clay McNall was the quarterback, and he put it up a total of 9 times in the second half. He was able to complete 6 of those, make it 7 of those. He was 7-9, one interception, and picked up 52 yards. Most of that was short yardage, shovel passes, and things like that. So 52 and 59 for the two quarterbacks. That's 111 through the air, 98 on the ground, 209 total yards for the Loomis Wolves. I had them for 8 first downs, 2 turnovers, both interceptions in the ball game tonight. One of those was McNall's, and one of those was Walton's. 5 penalties for 25 yards. They punted the ball tonight 8 times for an average of about 40 yards. McNall scored both of the touchdowns tonight, a 70-yard fumble return and the 51-yard run in the fourth quarter. We'll come back and look at the final numbers for the Mullen Broncos after this timeout on the Misco Sports postgame show.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
CHS Agri-Service Center is proud of the area athletes and wishes them good luck in the game. CHS Agri-Service Center in Alma, Holdridge, Bertrand, Loomis, Roseland, Smithfield, Overton, Bladen, Blue Hill, and Elm Creek. People and resources you can count on always.
Age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Welcome back to the Misco Sports Postgame Show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. Here's the final numbers I had tonight for the Mullen Broncos. Some of the kids that came in late, Jared Sperlin, 2 carries for 3 yards. Trent Porth had 4 carries for 10 yards in the ball game. Gabe Keneally, 3 carries, 9 yards. Braden Storr, the starting quarterback, had two quarterback sneaks for touchdowns, two carries, 3 yards, two touchdowns. Nate Benton, the fullback, 12 carries for 38 yards. And, of course, the main man tonight was the senior, Zach Call. He ends up with 34 carries, 254 yards, and two touchdowns in the football game tonight. So that's what's going on with him. 57 rushing attempts, 317 yards in the football game tonight for the Mullen Broncos. Through the air, we were close on our over-unders at halftime. They threw one pass in the second half of play, and it was incomplete. So quarterback Braden Storr was 2 for 5, had 57 yards through the air, and the one touchdown pass to Gabe Keneally. 57 through the air, 317 on the ground. I had Mullen for 374 yards of total offense, 18 first downs in the ball game here tonight. They had two fumbles. One was returned for a touchdown, six penalties for 50 yards. Mullen had to punt the ball seven times tonight for an average of about 38 yards per ball, per punt tonight in this football game. And final score tonight, 34-14 in favor of the Mullen Broncos, and they came in and they did it their way, Tony.
Yeah, they really did. They controlled this game from the first time they had the football. They went down and scored. That's what they've done all year, other than the one game versus Sargent. They try and get outside on you. I mentioned earlier this team reminded me of Howells running those sweep plays to the outside. They just continued to run them. Loomis couldn't stop them. That's the way it went all night.
Well, a squib kick by Loomis to start the ball game, and Mullen had pretty good field position at their own 32. They went 48 yards, and Zach Call took it in from 6 yards out. It took him less than 2 minutes to get on the board. They missed the two-point conversion 6-0. Then Loomis went 3 and out. Mullen was not able to score, had to punt it, and they pinned Loomis down at the 1. Loomis did hit a 36-yard pass that got him down out to the 38-yard line, but that was it. Had to punt it away, and then a 57-yard drive was capped by Braden Storr's 1-yard quarterback sneak. The run no good, 101 to go first quarter. It's 12-0. That was the score until Loomis actually got a nice drive going, and then on 3rd and 10 tried to heave one down towards the end zone, which was okay, except that the two receivers were in the same spot. There was 4 of them there. The ball got tipped up into the air, and Zach Call intercepted it at the 5 and ran it all the way back to the Loomis 35 on the very next play. Storr hooked up with Gabe Keneally. Very good coverage out there by McDowell, but Keneally just ripped the ball away and ended up taking it in. The two-point for conversion run was good. 20-0 with 6:21 to go. And then the backbreaker in this football game, when Mullen could have just knelt on the ball or ran out the clock, they decided to run a couple of plays. They called a couple of timeouts. They're in their own territory, and they snap the ball with 1 second and a half. They give it off to Zach Call. He goes around the left end. He breaks about 3 tackles and ends up sprinting to the end zone for a 55-yard touchdown. The two-point conversion run was good, and so on the last play of the half, it made it 28-0. Loomis then a 70-yard fumble return, 9:14 to go in the third quarter by Clay McNall. Parker Lindstrom ran it in and made it 28-8, gave Loomis a little hope because they stopped Mullen. They got the ball back, but they couldn't do anything after that. And Mullen scored their only touchdown of the second half on his 2-yard quarterback sneak. 3:22 to go in the third quarter, made it 34-8. And then the 51-yard run by Clay McNall with 3:21 to go in the game. The PAT kick was no good. Made it 34-14. Damon Steinbrink was on the fumble recovery that helped set that thing up. And that is your final score tonight. Mullen 34 and Loomis 14. And Tony, it looks like Hastings St. Cecilia has advanced on. Overton is about the only team that is left from the immediate area. And we will have Monday Overton up at Creighton for a chance to go to the D1 state championship game. And those are two of the top three teams. Winner most likely going to face Bancroft Rosalie for the state championship. They've been rolling over everybody. And Overton at last check, as that game was just about final, had taken care of South Loop.
Yeah, and I think maybe one more game, and maybe Zach Olmstead have an opportunity to get back on the field for them to be at full strength, which would help immensely if you're making a run to the semifinals and on to the finals.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how it worked out, but he got cleared by the doctor to play and did suit up, so I don't know if they played him tonight or not, but he was eligible to go. We will wrap things up and say that they're ready for the scoreboard show back at the studios. So once again, to the great producer and engineer, Stacy Johns, thanks for taking care of us. We're going to try and get untethered here and get on our way home. You've been listening to the Misco Sports postgame show. Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. See them before the games begin. For all of your Indomitian Sioux jerseys, men's, college, and NFL hoodies are 25% off.
Basketball shoes as well. It's that time of year.
That's right. Just as we said, basketball Wrestling, whatever you need, Frisco Sports. Again, the final score, the Mullen Broncos 34 and the Loomis Wolves 14. For Tony Davis, I'm Doug Dudas saying thanks for listening. Good night, everyone, from Loomis.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Woo-wee! Time to spice up your grilling, the Hole-in-One Farms great marinade, rub, and barbecue sauce. You can find all their great products at holeinonefarms.com or ask your favorite grocery store. Try one of their great products today. After all, they're the best barbecue sauce, marinade, and rub from the country.
The preceding broadcast was a presentation of Classic Hits 98.9 FM and KKPR.com. Podcast of this and all play-by-play broadcasts are available. To download a copy, log on to KKPR.com. We'll be right back.